good.
Sweet. Okay.
On a Monday.
Episode on a Monday. On a Monday. What are we doing? What are we doing right now?
Chilling.
Yeah. Definitely chill. So I'm excited. We got a lot. It seems like we have a lot to cover today.
That's an understatement.
which I'm excited. I'm excited about it. I'm excited because there's so much going on, and we got to talk about a couple of things and lay some things out there. So this episode 515 of The Show Radio. So guys, welcome to another episode. This is 515 of The Show Radio. I'm your host, Andrew.
Hey guys, I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows. While you're there, subscribe and tell a friend about the show. The show is on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all the places that you can find the podcast. We are there, so definitely check us out. This is 515 of the show. Daniela, what's up?
I don't know. I feel super productive, but not at the same time.
Well, I mean, you should feel and then, productive.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Let's see. I got two games to review for today. A little bit behind on them, but I got them. I got them all situated because I was sick for the first week of this month.
Hmm.
So, came back in the second week and I got them. Got to play them.
Word.
Which is on the docket for today, so.
Absolutely. So, a couple of things. Definitely. I saw some controller announcements that I completely missed. That Google Stadia stuff was interesting, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Added some of the news of today. Today is Monday, October 14th, 2019. Some Batwoman impressions. We'll mention some of those things. The Vision world is a little bit crazy. Modern Warfare stuff, PlayStation 4, and even PlayStation 5, and Joker. So that's a little snapshot of some of the things that we're going to talk about today. Daniela, I mean, we can go right into the notes, or we can go we can freestyle a little bit based on some thoughts we've had about anything in the last 24 to 48 hours. I guess I'll start with you. What's been on your mind the last 24 to 48?
Man, that it's almost the end of the year.
Right.
It's almost the end of the year. We're coming into the holidays, and I can't believe I went to Walmart this morning so early in the day, and they have both Halloween stuff and Christmas stuff out, and I have so many mixed feelings because they're like, did you skip Thanksgiving? Because there's no turkeys out. I see Christmas and I see Halloween.
Right.
Pick one. Let's stick with it.
That's interesting. I don't think I'm surprised anymore as it relates to those things, because we know that it's the marketing that takes place way ahead of whatever schedule we believe was ideal, right? When it comes to Halloween and Thanksgiving, and then the Black Friday stuff rolling into, you know, the roller coaster that is the Christmas stuff. And so I'm not surprised.
I mean, neither am I, but it's just, why is Thanksgiving always missed? That's my whole thing. Like, I know. Okay, first of all, I find it really weird to see Christmas stuff out the beginning of September.
That's a little weird.
That I find is weird. Okay.
A little bit. Right.
Like,
right.
I can understand the October, mid-October time months. Fine. But it's like, is Thanksgiving really not celebrated like that too?
Mm.
Like, put some turkey stuff out, some cornucopias, fall. I mean, Hawaii doesn't necessarily have four seasons. We have one. But
right.
We still celebrate holidays. We
right,
still
right. So,
put that stuff out there.
So eggnog is Thanksgiving and Christmas, right? Typically.
I have no idea. I've never had eggnog.
Okay. Any particular reason why?
No.
Okay. All right. Just wondering.
I don't think I know anybody who knows how to make eggnog. I mean, okay. I know that there's those pre-made container things, but
right.
I just never really got around to it. I mean, I think even last year, I think I bought this like horchata eggnog thing last year, and I don't even think I drank it.
Okay, so it's not because of, you know, allergies or anything like that.
No.
That you haven't had. Okay, it's not bad. I mean, I think Turkey Hill makes a decent one, depending on the markets and the grocery spots that you have near you and things like that. Turkey Hill is not too bad. As you mentioned, if there's somebody that knows how to make it, you know, definitely try it because it's really good. If it's made well, it's good. But yeah, I dig that. I usually see that around this time heading into Thanksgiving and even towards Christmas as it relates to the festivities of things, you know, for the holidays. So it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I'll try it eventually. I know opportunity has never presented itself for me to try eggnog. So no reasons.
It's all good. It's all good.
But I'm excited.
Yeah,
for the holidays.
It's definitely you know, that time of, you know, who are we going to visit, if we're staying, if we're going. And I think even now, as I'm thinking about it, one of the things that we want to do this year is kind of mix it up a little bit is I'll probably go see my sister this year down south. And then for Christmas, we'll probably do the Poconos. So I think that's what we're going to line up for this year. So we're trying to prep for that and look at the numbers and traveling for driving, flying and those things. So we're already making those preparations already. But I definitely want to say something that we don't necessarily say often enough. I definitely want to say from on behalf of Danielle and myself, thank you for taking the time to listen, to watch, whether you watch our independent stuff or our collective stuff. We really do appreciate it. You know, we share information, you know, as I've shared with Daniela even recently, this is our time of really collaborating and airing out to each other, as well as, you know, sharing some information with you. But at the same time, it's, you know, the excitement to get to do another show every single week, or, you know, every single time we turn on the mics, I'll say that is a joy for me. And Danielle, I definitely will let you speak on that as well.
I always look forward to it, especially when I don't know what we're going to do. That's the best part. It's a surprise every week. Like, this week's surprise is, I think our topics that we would like to discuss today pretty much equals to the sum of the topics that we had prepared for like the last four shows.
It seems that way, yeah.
But it's always fun because I think not only do, like, even after what, so many years being friends, knowing each other, we still learn something new about each other, and that's always fun and exciting. Having people join us every week or listen, give feedback, that's always good and bad. So I look forward to every week, and I'm appreciative of everybody who has come along on this journey with us and continue to do so and support us. So we're thankful.
Right.
That's like our free Thanksgiving thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so if you listened to the episode last week, which I'm not going to spoil, but after I had a conversation with Daniela, we realized that we were talking about the same person. So I'm just going to leave it there. And we're going to move. Okay, so you got to listen to the episode last week, which is 514, to get a context of what I just said, which was a phenomenal episode. Okay, so Danielle, we got a couple of things. I definitely want to hear your thoughts about John Wick Hex. What is that about? Tell us. I've seen pictures. I saw some clips. But tell me. Give me the goods.
Give me the goods. Well, it's definitely something.
Okay,
so
a lot of blood?
No, not really. It's not, how do I put it? It's not exactly what, well, no. Let's start all over here.
Okay, I'm here. I'm here with you. I'm not going anywhere, by the way. I'm here.
Well, I'm grateful that you're not going anywhere. So John Wick Hex was pretty much a prequel to what is happening in the movies. It's not like a direct prequel. But obviously, you have John Wick, and I guess events before he really leads into that. There's no dog. Let's put it into there. There is no dog for you to grow attached to, because if they added some dog element in which you have a pet and it leads directly into the movie, it really takes away from the impact that the first John Wick Hex had, or not John Wick movie had. So that's what John Wick's it. John Wick Hex. Why am I tongue twister with this here?
It's all good.
Yeah. But it's definitely a very nice, refreshing take on the game, especially for the games that I have been playing lately. So the best way for me to describe, because I didn't know how to go into describing it when I was streaming it, but, you know, the people that was viewing me helped me better describe exactly what type of gameplay it is. It is a real-time tactical shooter mixed with, like, super hot meets chess. Very interesting thing. It's like, it's not a run-and-gun shooter thing. You have to be very methodical about how you are planning your movements. So it's not happening in exact real time. As you move, it progresses times, and the above on the layout there on the GUI, you have your main timeline bar. So certain actions, it will show you before you actually enable them about how long it will take for you to move to this point or to this point or to enact a certain action. And then when you have, when you're moving, if a baddie comes onto the screen, it actually halts, it stops. Like the action, where no matter where you're at, if you're moving 4 steps ahead, if a character comes in, a baddie comes in, that's, you know, on your second step, it actually stops you right there. It won't continue the progression. It actually pauses. So that's where that whole super hot element comes in, is that the game only progresses as you move. And when you stop there and a baddie comes in, you have choices. Do you want to continue moving? Do you want to shoot them? Do you want to tackle them? Do you want to strike? Do you want to approach them? Do you want to throw your gun? And those actions take a certain amount of time. And then there's another timeline, and there's an additional timeline for every baddie that comes into your screen. And certain actions, their actions also show how long it's going to take. So when you're trying to gauge about what you should do, you have to be in consider, like, did this baddie start implementing some type of, are they moving? Are they going to shoot you? And it will show that on their timeline. And you can gauge, I'm like, okay, what is it that I want to do? Do I have time to move and then shoot them? Is it better to, you know, crouch and roll away? Is it better, like, if I choose to shoot them, am I going to do it before they do to interrupt their movement? So you have to be super careful about it. You have to plan ahead, and that's where that chess element comes into play. And it's such an interesting thing. It's like a huge thinking game. You can't just run and gun and hope for the best, even though some instances I was trying to do that. You only can carry one gun, which I kind of had a very weird feeling about that. I'm like, come on, it is John Wick.
Right.
Like, this man only has one gun. Like, come on. That man has to have something else. But no, you have one gun and you do not have unlimited ammo. I think only at the beginning of the game did I think I might have had a full clip. But most of the times, like, you'll have, like, there's a lot of 9mm in this game. Different baddies, if you pay attention, will have a different type of weapons on them. I think there's one that had, like, a little Uzi on it, or there's a revolver. In each gun, depending on what it is, has a longer time before, if you choose the action of shooting, it actually takes longer to be able to do that action.
Okay.
So, which is kind of a little bit unbelievable for John Wick. Like, that man lines up his shots really, really quickly and then shoots you. No, this one takes a while, especially the revolver. The revolver is really powerful. Takes, like, one shot. But, like, the 9mm, you can pop off 2 shots really quick. Depending, and then there's also different statistics within it. So depending on how far you are from the target, they'll present to you, like, oh, you have an 80% chance or 100% chance of hitting them. The same thing goes for you. Like, you can choose to maneuver in so many ways in which you're out of the line of their line of sight. So if they're shooting you, obviously, if you're kind of moving in a straight line, increases their chances of hitting you. But if you're kind of, like, going in a zigzag, increases chances of them missing you. Or if you duck behind a pillar or a box, or if you crouch and roll out of the way, decreases that as well, too. Now, talking about the movement, like I was saying, you can move in a straight line. It was very weird. So you can't just move as fluid as you would
like
in a regular shooter. There's actually pre-designated plot points that you can move to, and sometimes depending on your angle, you can move straight. Other times, even though you want to move 2 feet in front of you, it'll take like two steps, and it's like in a zigzag to get there. That takes a little while, but to get used to, but it actually helps with the movement and you picking which direction you want, or what are the chances of you missing these shots or them avoiding you. But the same thing also goes when you're aiming. So say somebody is moving in a diagonal in front of you, as you're shooting, they're also moving. So you might be able to get your first shot, but if they are, if they walk behind a vehicle or they do the same thing, they avoid you. You increase the chances of missing.
Oh, okay.
So
as you're explaining, I'm thinking of Transistor. I don't know why. Transistor was, it was like the very similar look in terms of, I don't know if you move in those patterns in Transistor, if I remember correctly, but I don't know why that game is sticking out for me as it relates to Supergiant Games, I think, did Transistor.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. And is it very similar to that? Have you seen Transistor?
I have. Okay. It has that same top-down look, but you don't have that free movement.
Okay.
But it does have that top-down.
That look, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing that I thought was really cool. So you do have the top-down, but you do have control over the camera movements in the sense of where you're looking in the map. You can rotate the camera, which gives you the advantage of looking at different angles, because there's a lot of times where I'll hear a door open, meaning that there's somebody that's coming into the map, and I have to rotate the camera to see, where they are. It also helps gauge, like, again, when they're trying to avoid your gunshots, for you to be able to pick your shots, because you don't have unlimited ammo. And for you to
pick up... Can you get unlimited ammo?
No, you can't. Okay. I mean... The baddies that carry guns, they drop their guns, you can pick it up from them, and that's how you get more ammo, but you're pretty much picking up a whole new gun. So if you had four shots left in your pistol and you pick up another gun, well, you're dropping those four bullets and you're picking the next gun. And that part, I'm not sure how I felt about it, because it felt like it's so wasteful. Like, I wasn't worried about necessarily running out of bullets, but I hated leaving it behind. Because of, like, I was worried, okay, am I going to get to this point where I'm not going to have bullets and it's like the worst advantage, which ended up in what I got to play. That didn't happen. Most cases, I was low on health, because when you move into the next stage, your health doesn't replenish. Bandages are super scarce. I think when I started it, the first level, I might have had one bandage that I picked up. You start off with two when you start a new level. But every, like, one of those levels, there's different stages in them. And I ended up getting to the end of this level with one final boss and having three health, no bandages, and just hoping RNG is on my side.
RNG.
Yeah, it really was. And there's some instances, I think one of the bosses, I pretty much was there for an hour trying to do this one level, and it is very stressful, because with the bosses, here's the thing that I find so super weird. So the bosses have like these two bars. One is their health bar and one is their focus bar, and you don't necessarily do any damage when their focus bar is full. And the only way to reduce that is by striking them. So basically, you have to get up close and personal and strike them until it's depleted, and then you can shoot them to do any damage. But even then, you have a limited focus bar, and for you to be able to regain that focus, you kind of have to find yourself in a safe spot. And what he does is, like, he kind of like shakes his head, regains focus, but since that is an action and he has to stand still to do it, time is moving. So people are moving in towards you and you have to pick your times to refocus.
I'm glad you're playing it for me.
It is. It's a lot. It really is.
So what's the draw? What's the draw for you? Okay, I'm not going to make assumptions. What's the draw for you? I'll let you answer.
Because it's John Wick.
Okay.
That's the biggest thing. I mean, the art style is really cool. It's very cel-shaded, very simple color schemes, very easy to really notice certain things. So most of the color scheme is a very neutral colors. There's hot pink. Like, there's not necessarily blood or gore, but when you shoot them, like, what would be blood is like this hot neon pink color. The doorways in which baddies come walking through is also has like this hot neon pink glow to it that comes underneath the door, so you know, like, hey, this is a spawn point for them. Mm. And also notates where, you know, your exit kind of is gonna be. So it's that. What I think they could have improved on, which I think is really cool, after you complete every stage, you can actually do a replay of what you just did. I really wish that was a little bit more cinematic and a lot smoother, because when you're playing this, it's not so much a dynamic camera. It's very staticky because of the way that he moves is very purposeful and blocky, I guess you can call it. And the cinematic, it tries to be a little bit smoother on that, but I feel like they could have made it a bit more cinematic and action-packed when they replayed it. Like, it was the first time I got to see it. I was really hoping for something that was kind of alongside of, like, the movies, which is all action. And sometimes the camera angles in that was really super weird. It was cool option to have, but I think they could have done a whole lot better on that.
Hmm. Okay.
And okay. Like in between levels, you can kind of go visit your tailor, in which you earn like some coin. You only have a set amount of coins that you can use for certain buffs for John to carry on. And here's the thing is that if you don't use all those coins, it doesn't carry over to the next one. You kind of just completely lose it.
Okay.
And that was so hard because, one of the levels I was coming in, I had 9 coin and they had like 6 different buffs. And 3 of them was for 4 coins and 3 of them were for 6 coins. The ones for the 4 coins, I didn't really care for them. But here I am. So I bought one. I think it's to reduce, or it's really to increase the chances of long shots. So I bought that one, which left me with 3 coins. And I'm like, I can't bring you over with me to the next one. And I have to hope for the best. I have to hope for the best that I chose right, because I don't know what is going to be in right now. Like, for that level, I didn't necessarily choose right, because this is to increase my long shots. And right now, a lot of it is coarse quarters. Like, right. Okay. Well, that doesn't feel so good. Could have made a different choices there, but I can always restart it, go back to this player point and choose a different buff instead.
Is it difficult?
I would say it's difficult.
Okay.
I see a lot of people who really like those very tactical, very methodical, thought out plans and strategy would love this type of game. I'm not saying that people who aren't into those strategy type of games wouldn't enjoy it, but it's something different to get used to. I'm enjoying it, as frustrating as it may be, because it's just refreshing and different to be able to experience something else. And it's forcing me to go and think about these things and plan it out and foresee these different movements that I'm going to be doing. So, yeah, I mean, I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay, so in relation to John Wick and even that whole, if you want to call it a universe at this point, they're considering doing a female-centric John Wick spinoff. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm down for it.
Okay.
Of course I am. Anything more to add to the John Wick universe, I'm in full support of. John Wick also happens to be, like, I think one of the movie series that are out there in which I almost love the movies, each one. Because most of the series that come out, everybody loves the first one. And then the second one comes out, I was like, and the third one comes out, we're like, John Wick, I love each one and every one of them. Yes, the first one is always going to be more memorable because that was your introduction to this character, to this world. It's a longer lasting impression, but I loved all the movies. So if they're going to be doing a female centric one and it's adding on to the John Wick universe, I am 100% down for that. If that ends up being its own spin-off series and then it gets introduced, like eventually there's some crossover with John Wick and this female John Wick, I love it. Because even having the third one, did you watch the third one?
Not yet.
I'm not going to spoil anything for the third one.
That's Portobellum or something like that?
Yeah. And there's badass assassins in the world.
Right. I heard there's dogs in there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and they're really badass, and it was fun to watch, and it was entertaining.
Mm.
I have no complaints to it. So even if they come out with, like, you know, a female John Wick Hex movie or video games to go with the movies, I'm down for that too.
Okay. All right. So before we go into the next review, which is NeoCab, I definitely want you to educate us about keyboards. I know this wasn't planned, which is why I love the way we do the show. You mentioned some stuff about keyboards and keys that I wasn't necessarily fully aware of based on, you know, the topic that we're going to talk about in a hot second. So what are the things...
Before we do this, I wanted to be able to say thank you to Sandbox. Sandbox Strat Games for giving me the opportunity to review John Wick Hex, which is already out. You can pick it up. It's exclusively on the Epic Launcher. So we can go and get it for $19.99. I think that price point is fantastic for it. And yeah, that's kind of all I have for it. I would, overall rating, just a quick rundown. Honestly, I would give it a 7.5 out of 10. It is really, it's a really good game, but it's also really, really difficult. There is a learning curve to it. It's a great price point, and the only critique I can really give to it is the replay just being a little bit more cinematic and flow better. Okay. That's all I would say. So thank you again, Sandbox Chat, for that
7.5? Opportunity. 7.5?
Yeah, 7.5. 100%. All right.
That's fair. That's fair. So, your thoughts on keys and keyboards. This is a new world for me, especially being new to PC in the last couple of months. As I mentioned on previous episodes, there are different keys for different purposes, basically, in terms of how you want things to sound for you. And one of the things that you mentioned to me earlier are cherry keys. And can you break that down for the individuals who are not necessarily familiar with keys?
So mechanical keyboards, which is a love-hate for a lot of people. And most mechanical keyboards come with cherry keys. And the more common type of cherry keys are, I already forgot, blues, browns, and we were just literally talking about this. Reds? Yes, reds. And each one has a very different feel to it. So it really comes down to super preference for it. I believe my first mechanical keyboard had blues and I love them, but they are really loud. Like if you love that sound, that feeling, because you can definitely feel the entire press. You not only do you feel the feedback of it, but you can also hear it. And thank you, Girl Child Productions, for the follow, and thank you for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And then there's reds, which kind of it's super, super soft. You still have some of feedback, but it's a lot quieter. And then you have browns, which is like a little bit of an in-between. And for me, my keyboard, I personally have the Kinesis gaming keyboard, the split keyboard. I have browns in them. I was going to go with blues, but my last blue keyboard, which was, I believe, Razer, I forget which one it was. The biggest complaint I got was that it was really, really loud, and my stream could hear it. And it can be distracting.
Now, they heard it because of not the mic you're using now, because you had another setup before that, right?
Yeah, I had the Yeti.
Okay, yeah, I had the Yeti at the time.
And thank you, that gamer Malik, for the 10 bits as well. Appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
I did, but it was loud. Like, I liked it, but I can see how it can get annoying even for people within my household, because it's just like all the clickly clacks. Right. I just happened to like that sound. If I had to have ASMR, it would be just those sounds. But the Browns was a good, you know, compromise in between that. I still get that feedback. I still get that mechanical sound that of keyboards that I can enjoy. And that's kind of like a standard. There really isn't a difference between the keys between brands, at least none that I have ever noticed or ever felt. It just comes down to, you know, the manufacturers of who's utilizing these types of keys.
Okay, so essentially this is a standard right now across the industry, whether you're doing the blue, brown, or red, that sound or iconic sound per color, if you will, for those keys are relatively the same?
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
I would say they are, but there's way more than just those colors. There's blacks, there's clears, there's silvers, there's whites. There's a lot, but definitely the most commons are the blue, browns, and reds.
Okay, cool. I appreciate that, because I'm still new to that whole world. Recently, Logitech sent over the Logitech G Pro X mechanical keyboard. I ended up going with the blue keys, which is the clickety clack, as you said. That's funny just saying that, for those keys. And because we use microphones that isolate sound and not necessarily bring all the sound into the setup itself, depending on where we're recording, when I'm typing, I don't think that usually transfers to the actual microphone. And I'm assuming for you now, based on your setup with the Helicon system and units that you have, the microphone setup that you have now, when you're typing, sounds don't necessarily translate to the actual recording.
No, it really doesn't. It really doesn't. I mean, I still get it from me. Like, even having my headset on, I can still hear it, but it's not, yeah, like you said, it's not really transferring over to my streams.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, so that keyboard, the form factor is without the 10-key pad on the side. So for ergonomic purposes, it's really short. It is a heavy build for the keyboard itself, which is heavier than what I was using before. I think I was using a standard Dell keyboard, which had the 10-key layout, which is cool. When you could just do the 1 through 9 for that particular set, I think that includes 0 as well. But it doesn't have that. It's just what it is. It has the RGB lighting system in it. So when you open up the Logitech Pro Hub software, you see the keyboard in there. You can make changes to the color system. I'm using all blue right now, which is somewhat iconic to Logitech in so many ways as it relates to different presets. There are presets already built into the system for the keyboard in the software, which is cool as well. And we'll have links in the show notes for this particular keyboard. Logitech has stepped it up. I mean, I've been using their mouse for a long time, their Logitech MX mouse, which my wife uses now. So she's using that. The 604 came out recently. I'm using that now. The keyboard is fairly new, using that. And then they came out with the Pro headset a couple of weeks ago, midsummer, I guess, if you want to say that. That's good. So they have a solid product line for a lot of things if you're considering to use a line. And then along with that, the Astro stuff is good too. So if you're into Astro, whether that's a A40, 50, anything that they have, the mix amps are good. And these are things that we use on a regular basis, so we can vouch for them. And then, yes, most of them are sent to us by companies, but they are solid products. Danielle, any thoughts on that?
I'm kind of glad that there's more options for the 10 keyless keyboards. Because honestly, if you're just looking for a keyboard for gaming, I really can't think of too many games that would require you having that, the 10 key. And anything that offers you more mouse space on your table, whatever you may be using, is always a benefit. It takes some time getting used to, though. I will say that, because you're so used to those full-size keyboards taking up all of this room, and then you don't realize how much extra room you get until that 10 keys is missing, and you're like, whoa, this feels so tiny. So I love that there's more options coming with it, because my keyboard has no 10 keys on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I haven't gotten used to it yet.
It's nice. How many times? Yeah. Well, how often do you use your 10 keys?
Well, for like passwords and certain things, I have the numbers in there. So I usually just use a combination of the numbers, letters, you know, uppercase, lowercase, you know, for security purposes. Every password should be, you know, a combination of a whole bunch of things to make it secure. So LastPass is good for that, which we talked about in the past. But not having it there is still weird. So I'm still, you know, trying to figure out what that balance is.
Well, you don't use your top row for your numbers?
Sometimes. I have no choice now. I have to use it now. So it's like, okay, yeah, and usually I look down to use the numbers. Like, I could...
That's the only keys I have to look down to use the numbers.
Exactly. But all the other keys, I'm like, yeah, cool, you know, you type in your, you know, quick email and stuff like that. Those are cool, but I have to look down to where's one, where's seven, because I don't remember if it's a, seven is above the U or, you know, like, I'm still working through that. But outside of that, no complaints. Doe keyboard, would recommend it. It's dope. It's not wireless, okay? This one is wired.
I prefer mine wired. Same thing with my mouse. I mean, I know there's some good, I think Logitech offers some really good wireless mice, but in my head, I am so old school and very convinced about the latency with wireless, even though I'm sure has improved by 1,000-fold since I, like, the last time I've ever used one. I just can't convince myself on a wireless mouse.
Off topic. I got to hit you with this one. All right. So yesterday I was running Xbox and playing Destiny there. Okay. That's not the point. Okay. So the sound, I was trying to figure out the best way to wire the sound for me to have the best of using the sound from the Xbox coming in through maybe like an optical. Like, how do you have that set up? Because I know sometimes you go back to the consoles and play, because you played PlayStation 4 recently. So how are you managing your audio with that as it relates to having everything connected, but not necessarily have to disconnect something to reconnect something else?
An optical splitter.
Okay, so you have
an optical splitter. So I can toggle it. Same thing with the HDMI. Mm. I have kind of like a, well, I don't think I'm using the correct word splitter correctly, okay. But that's what's coming to my mind. So you have the two inputs for my Xbox and my PlayStation, okay. And then you can just toggle between each one.
Gotcha.
My HDMI is the same thing. And regardless of if I had my Go XLR or anything,
okay.
Yes, there you go, Ruru. Thank you and welcome. Hello, a switch.
What's happening?
A switch. It would go into the Astro Mix amp. Just through optical, and the USB goes to PC. So my USB is never in the consoles.
Gotcha.
So all of the audio is going through there. And then, so the switch, the part that's really difficult to navigate through, and it's more so for PlayStation, because there's an Xbox app. Windows 10, everybody at this point, I feel, has Windows 10. So they have the Xbox Companion app.
Right. Here's what I was trying to do. I was trying to have a conversation with a party chat with, you know, some guys on the Xbox app while I was playing on the, you know, Destiny on the Xbox, and just having maybe an optical option for that and still be able to hear the conversation and not use the party chat on the Xbox, but use it on the actual desktop. So that's where I was trying to do yesterday.
Yeah. So the companion app on Windows 10, that's because you have your Mixamp utilizing the USB. It just sees it as a USB mic. So you can still select that option to use your headset, or you can even use, you know, your desktop mic there to four-party chat. And you'll still get the game because you're using optical into the console. So it's pretty much what it's doing is bringing in two audio sources because you have your party chat from your PC and then your game coming in through your MixM to go to your headset.
Okay. All right. So I'll play around that some more. But yeah, it was cool. What was not cool about it was losing 30 extra frames. It's not the same. My eyes can't do it anymore. Like, I played there because I wanted to hang out and say what's up and shout outs to a couple of peeps, but 30 frames now for me, looking at it now and seeing the dramatic difference, it's I think I am an evangelist now for PC stuff because it's crazy how different it is. And I think the thing with that is I was speaking with someone yesterday. It depends on the games you play. But for the most part, like a game like this one, you know, whether that's a Division, a Destiny, a Warframe, you know, Paladin stuff, Overwatch stuff, you can tell the difference. And I named a couple, right? So you can tell the difference between that and versus the console version of those things. Now, the other thing, too, in terms of benefits is, well, I don't have to pay the Plus or whatever to play online, right? I just jump on Steam, you know, I pay for the internet, I paid for the DLC for whatever, and then that's it. But yeah, so that was the audio issue I was going through, trying to figure that out. I'll navigate that some more because I want to see if I can jump back on and off the console. Right now, I have Xbox Live for the year on that platform. And so I'll probably jump back and forth and say what's up to some folks. You know, cross save is activated, which is dope. But yeah, that's all another thing. So yeah, Logitech Pro X Mechanical Gaming Keyboard. It's dope. Definitely look for the link in the show notes. We'll have that. And good stuff there. I saw your highlighter hit and my feelings. I just went into my feelings as soon as I saw your highlight just now. Which we're not going to talk about that yet. But NeoCab, let's do that first before we get into the other stuff, because it's about to get spicy in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man. NeoCab. NeoCab. Okay, so we got to see trailer for NeoCab. Let's see. What was that? PC Gaming Show E3 2017? That's right.
That sounds
right. That was with Frankie. That was the first time I actually got to see Frankie.
She's dope.
Host, and that was really super exciting. But yes, NeoCab was definitely one of the games that was showcased. It was teased there that I instantly fell in love with. I love the world. I love the color scheme. I love everything that it was putting forth. And I love the direction that you went. So NeoCab, it's a futuristic side game in which you are one of the very few last remaining human drivers. Now, here's a cool part is,
okay,
I Uber everywhere. I am addicted to Uber. When I go on vacations, I don't even remember the last time I've actually rented a car. I rely on Uber for everything. And the fact that there is a game that is kind of centered around, you know, that Uber Lyft experience and where you use an app to call a driver and then you give these ratings to, which is one of the main elements of what NeoCab is. So you play as Lena, who is moving from Cactus Flats to this futuristic city called Los Ojos in Southern California.
Okay.
And she's starting this new life. She's reacquainting herself with her best friend. They lost contact. And in this city, which is a full automation city where majority of all of their cars that are driving around are self-automated. That's run by this corporation called Capra. Cars are called Capra AI. And they're just driverless. They just people call it. They just they want this experience. She doesn't like it because obviously she's going to be losing her job if this company expands even further. She used to work for Capra at one point, again, as a driver, but then they have these automated cars going out and she lost her job. So she started up as her own, being her own businesswoman, working for NeoCab. When she gets into this city that she's moving to, she's supposed to be moving in with her best friend, Savi, who, you know, upon that first night, which I've got to say, if I moved to the city to go live with my best friend and she just asked me to pick her up, to bring her to a nightclub and then disappears on me, like, I would be upset. Like, I just drove all of this way and you're going to go out to a nightclub? No, you're going to tell me where we live and then you can go. You can go and do whatever you want. But that's what happens. And that's really where the story starts, is that your best friend ends up disappearing. You don't know what happens, but you also got to be able to make up your money. So you're picking up passengers, finding out about their lives and trying to figure out, okay, you know, who knows what's going on in the city? Where can I find extra information? What do I know? And, you know, you start picking up passengers based off of the information that you learn. And obviously there's some passengers that you pick up that doesn't really add to you finding out what happens to your best friend. Or what?
So what's the point of them, though?
You got to make money.
Got it.
Because you're driving this, it's futuristic. So you have, you know, Elon Musk cars. Probably Elon Musk supplied the entire fleet of cars for this world. But they're all electric cars, so which take money to recharge.
Okay.
So you got to make your money. On top of that, you have to have a good, you know, star rating. Obviously, depending on how these conversations happen with these passengers, is going to determine how they're rating you. Certain passengers expect you to have a certain star rating before you're allowed to pick them up. But you also learn a bit more. It does add to the story. Even if the passengers you're picking up doesn't have directly to do with, you know, your best friend being missing, it does add to the story of what you're doing in Los Ojos. And I'm going through my second playthrough right now, and I'm making obviously different choices because I want to see like all these different endings that there will be. So there is a replay value to it.
Okay, so are you reading the lore or are you hearing the lore and stuff
reading
in the world?
So that's the downside of this. Is I love visual novels, and I don't mind reading out everything, but it is very text heavy. Maybe not as text heavy as typical visual novels are, but there is still quite a bit of reading to be had, and there is no voice acting, absolutely none. So you're having to sit there and read it rather than listening. Now, the good trade-off to that is with visual novels, when you hear there's voice acting in it, there's different tones and inflections, so you can get an understanding of the feelings that are being conveyed and what's happening in that situation. What this game does really well, and I really, really love, is the characters' faces are really animated, and they're constantly changing. It's changing to how Lena's feeling, how the passengers are feeling, how you respond.
Okay, is that within the same dialogue that the expressions are changing, or is it like a dialogue takes place then it changes, or is it how many changes in animation within that dialogue?
It's very active with the dialogue.
Gotcha.
Lines up one in one, so it's very dynamic in the way that the dialogue is happening. And there's another element in here. It's called the feel grid, which I'm not too sure how I feel about that. Really, personally, I probably should have a feel grid myself. But what it does, it tells it, it's a bracelet that you receive from your best friend, Savi, and where it reads your blood, super weird, or really it's the molecules within your blood to display. It's a colorful display. Like, it's pretty much a mood ring, a very active, sophisticated mood ring. And it will display how you are feeling.
Okay.
And there's like four different primary colors. You have the red, which it means you're super angry. You're very frustrated. The deeper color the red is, the angrier you are. There's blue, and where you're sad. There's yellow, if you know you're feeling good and you're a little bit energetic. And then there's a green, in which like you feel good, but you're very chill, feel good. Depending on how you answer and interact with your passengers will determine how you're feeling. But it also tells you what type of conversation that you can have with somebody. The thing is that there are multiple choices on how you respond to people. What I kind of didn't really like is that if you're feeling really, really upset, it depends on whatever you're feeling. Doesn't matter if it's upset or not, but it will either take away or not allow, really, it doesn't allow you to make that choice. And I wish it did. Like, I understand giving you that warning. It's like, oh, you're feeling a little bit heated. Maybe you should cool down. But I would still have liked that option to choose it anyways. What if I wanted to have a very angry conversation with this person? It took away that option. Like, it'll tell me, oh, maybe you should choose something else.
Okay.
Well, that's the choice I want to make. Like, if
I get
a bad start.
What if the choice that you're trying to make, you want to make a right choice according to how you're feeling? You can't do that?
You can. But,
okay.
I mean, you kind of can. If it's a good feeling, yeah, you go ahead and choose that. But I noticed that majority of the negative ones is ones that were taken away. Like, the option is still there. You can click on it, but it will tell you, like, oh, you know, maybe this isn't the greatest response. Choose something else that will cool the conversation down. I'm like, but what if I don't? What if I want to have that? Like, let me make that choice. Like, don't give me the illusion of being able to make that choice. Just let me choose it. So that was one of my gripes on top of that. But yeah, depending on the feel grid, no matter how the feelings, it would show on her face. Her happy, angry, sad. It would always show on her face. And I really, really love that. And you meet many different types of characters. My favorite one, I think his name was Agnon. He looked like a cultist. He who was worshiping this pain worm. And my second playthrough right now, I'm trying to work out, like, if I can get the ending in which I figure out what this pain worm is about. Because it feeds on, I guess, negative emotions. So you don't want to have a happy conversation with him. You want to have a really sad, depressed one with him. But then it makes him happy to have a sad, depressed feeling, like, conversation. So there's a balance that you have to do that because he doesn't want to be too happy. That he's
okay.
Living through this, and he's like one of my favorite characters that I came across in there. But there's a whole lot. I don't want to spoil too much because I want people to be able to go in and play it and experience it. The color scheme in this is very I want to say, like, I feel like it's cyberpunkish. I want to say cyberpunkish, but I feel like people are starting to associate that cyberpunk description with Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah.
So it's very neo-cyberpunk, neo-Tokyo cyberpunk, which kind of like that color mixture of that I would actually put closer to maybe Ghost in the
Purples,
Shell.
Hot pinks. And those kind of things, right?
Yeah. So that's what I would... It's like the softer, less grungier side of cyberpunk, I would say. And I think it was really beautiful. The music is really nice and super chill to listen to, which makes up for not having the voice acting. Is that you? Okay. It's really nice, relaxing music. And I think my biggest gripe definitely has to be the lack of the voice acting. I don't even know if I want to say this about my first
voice acting.
Yeah, the lack of it. Just they're really. There isn't any. So I did like my first playthrough. I don't know if I like the ending that I got because the story, following along the story, was super exciting and I loved it and I was hooked on it. I finished the game in one sitting. I would say like it took me about 5 hours to play through, which seems really, really short. But there is replayability to it because you get to choose different passengers that you pick up, which gives you a different angle in the story. But for my first playthrough, I felt that the ending that I got, which I will not give that spoiler to, was anticlimactic.
Okay.
Like, the way it ended, I was like, really? That's how it's ending? Man, like... That was not as exciting as the last, 4.5 hours that I played of it. And I was like, oh, that was a little bit of a letdown. So that's why I'm also playing through it again, because like the whole ride getting to that ending was great and fantastic, and I loved it. So I'm hoping on my second one, making different choices, is a whole lot more exciting and adds more to the story of what I did the first time. And yeah, that's like my biggest gripes about it. Other than that, I'm very pleasantly surprised. It for the most part did meet my expectations. It was a great ride and it was everything that I wanted to be. So I didn't have any ridiculous expectations out of it. I was very level-headed and very excited to be able to play it.
Okay.
I would recommend it. If you love visual novels, you like that, you know, having multiple text options and choices and paths, definitely pick up Neo Cab. Honestly, I would give it a very solid 7.
Okay. So first one was 7.5. This one is 7. You mentioned the fact that it didn't have voice acting was a pang point for you. 5 hours playtime, you mentioned, right?
Yeah, for the first playthrough. And okay. And the biggest chunk of why it's just a 7 is because you would attract more people having voice acting. Even if it's like the minimum little voice sounds or grunts or something in there, because not a lot of people want to sit and read through things. They want to just sit and enjoy. And I think it adds more. Having the voice acting definitely adds more to the emotion. Yes, it was great that the characters had, you can visually see that emotion on their face.
Okay.
But it's so much more impactful when you can hear it as well. Just hitting that other sense. And that is my biggest gripe.
Okay. So I have a question for you.
What's up?
Okay, well, do you have any other thoughts?
That's all my other thoughts. Thank you to, this was a review copy that was presented to me, and you know, just like any other reviews, it doesn't change my opinions on it. The opinions are my own. So thank you to Evolve and for giving me the opportunity to play this. It's been fun. I loved it. Go ahead and check it out. I think it's available on Steam. Steam and Switch, I believe, which I think is fantastic. But yeah, it comes from Fellow Traveler Games, Indie Games, my favorites. And yeah, that is Neo Cab.
Okay, so speaking of Steam, did you download Kurt's Spell?
No, I did not.
Okay, I did. Okay, and I don't know what to do right now because, you know, it's the anime feel. It's a PvE, P experience, I think. It's a RPG-esque type of game. It's beautiful. You get to create your character, male or female, depending how you want to set that up. I created a character in the game, and the opening sequence, the anime opening sequence of Kurt's Spell on Steam, like, drew me in. I'm like, this is dope. I don't know where I'm going to fit this game. I don't know how many hours I would have put in here. But I did download it, and I think I saw it through your stuff, actually. Somehow, your name came up, and I was like, Kurt's Spell, what is that? Let me check it out. So it's
dope. Now you're making me second guess if I, like, it's one of those games that I got and I don't even remember, because it's a high chance that happened.
It's dope. It's spelled, I'm gonna make sure I spell it.
Oh, I got it. K-U-R-T-Z-P-E-L.
T-Z-P-E-L. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what it is about it. If it's the, so Kurt's Spell is an anime style, action battle game from a third person perspective. That's the essential stuff of it. So you got PvP in there, you got PvE in there, and, it looks good. The anime cutscenes are really dope. Music is dope. And maybe because I love games that are super, I don't know, Destiny-esque in their nature. And I love looter-type games, which I don't think that game is a looter game as much as it's just a beautiful RPG action game that was free to download on Steam. So
yeah, I had to look it up on my phone. So 100%, I do have it. It's a free-to-play game. But I also have it sitting as my wish list to remind me to play it.
Yeah.
But I haven't gotten around to it yet.
It's cool. It's cool. It's cool. The initial impressions, I really dig it. I have to find other things to play besides Destiny throughout the year. Division right now has episode 2 thing coming out, I think soon, probably this week or within this upcoming 2 weeks or whatever. And there's hasn't been really a lot of buzz from the company for a lot of hype and all that stuff. So that's been very interesting to see the whole dynamic of that Division stuff, which I mean, I might as well just kind of like bring that up because there's a lot of things that's been really weird lately. I'm going to give you this one, Daniela. This is a quick hit for you. I know it's a quick hit. Trump on Twitch. Daniela.
No.
Okay, so next okay, one. No. So back to the division okay. topic.
No, okay, my quick thing is I always like, I think it was like pointed out across everything is how Trump was like, I don't want to work with any Amazon company. I don't want to do anything with this. He didn't even want to work with like, you know, I think it was Washington Post who, you know, is not owned by Amazon, but yet here he is. This is his own channel on Twitch that is owned by Amazon. I don't, whatever it is to that, but that chat was as toxic as I would ever believe it. Like, I think this, all trolls, everybody, I think even people who don't even troll was in there trolling and nope. Just so many things. But what I do think is kind of funny and fantastic is I don't think anybody in that chat, at least the ones that were talking or spamming or anything like that, was pro-Trump. Everything that I saw for the little bit of time that I was in there was so anti-Trump. I was like, well, I guess everybody agrees at least on one thing of the 12,000 people that are currently watching him or at that time when I saw.
Mm-hmm.
But
it wasn't anything. You had more.
I didn't spend any more than probably 3 minutes in there.
Okay. I'm surprised you had anything on this.
That's it. That's all I have. That's okay. Literally all I have.
Okay. So there's that. Division 2, working through some things right now. We love the game, and we don't like where it is right now, and we hope that that changes in the future. That's all I can say on it. That's all I can say on it. Okay, so Daniela.
Yes.
Would you drive for a 4-hour deal?
Would I drive 4 hours for a deal?
Yeah. Would you? Would you do that?
Depends on what the deal is.
Yeah?
It really depends on what the deal is.
Okay.
Maybe.
Drug deal?
A what?
Drug deal?
No.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either. So what kind of deal will give you 4 hours? Be like, you know what? I'm going to do that. Free PlayStation 4?
Nah.
Not even that you knew for a fact that it was going to be there on the other side.
Yeah, but do you know how many people are going to be in there?
Kojima signed, waiting for you, PlayStation 4, 4 hours away.
You know how many people are going to be waiting for that?
No,
there's going to be
so many. No, this is set aside for you. This is exclusively set aside for you. It's waiting for you. It's a Kojima signed PlayStation 4 with the game 4 hours away. Would you drive for that?
Yeah, I can drive 4 hours and nothing. Because I don't get to drive 4 hours here. Road trips are fun. And if it's like guaranteed, like this is mine and it's just mine and nobody else claims to it and it's just mine and nobody's going to know I'm going to have this so I'm not mugged on my way back to my car.
That's what I'm saying.
Then yes, I would.
Okay, sweet. So this whole thing that took place recently with the Joshua Brown and stuff like that, with him no longer being here because he was shot, was, according to the narrative being given to the public, it was a 4-hour deal gone bad. What are your thoughts on that?
What 4-hour deal?
They said it was related to drugs.
I don't know. I don't know what you want me to say to that.
I just want you to say how you feel, and then we'll keep it moving. We got a lot to talk about. This is not the end all be all for the night. So
I don't know how to feel about that.
Okay.
I really don't, because there's always more to a story. There's always more than that one side of the story. I also feel that we live in a world where made up stories can happen. So
okay.
I don't know.
Hmm. Mm.
I think one media outlet will always try to change the narrative so that the victim is a terrible person, and there's other outlets that will try to change the narrative where the person guilty is, you know, the bad person.
All right. So let me let's, for context purposes, right? I got to read some news, right? Just a little bit. All right. So let's go where it says right here. It says 4 hours. I don't know the exact mileage or whatever with the hour time, but from Alexandria, Louisiana to Texas. That's a long time, right? It's a big gap.
Yes.
From Louisiana. That's a big gap, right?
I would say so.
Yeah, that's a big gap. So according to this particular thing, Bobina, welcome.
Hey.
Jacarius Mitchell told police that Brown shot him in the chest after Green and Brown got into an altercation during the drug deal, and that Green then shot Brown twice more, said. That's just some of the clippings. This is NBCNews.com, according to this particular article, as it relates to Joshua Brown being shot. So that's one thing. One thing, right? I thought I was done there, because I'm done, right? And then there was this other thing that popped up. We got more gaming news. Don't stay with us. We got more gaming news. This is not it. We got plenty. Then the other thing happened, right? So Tatiana is in her home, chilling, right? Maxing, relaxing. I believe, according to the news reports that came out, she is 28, was at this point, right? Because she's no longer with us. She was at home. She got shot in the home. The cop resigned before being fired, and they put out his name and stuff today. So, like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in this world today. So I find it more predictable with the gaming stuff, the trolling stuff. At some point, I'm more comfortable with most of the trolling and things that are happening in the space. So it's gaming culture stuff, people online saying things about other people. You know, it's like, okay, everybody calm down. But this protect and serve situation, right, where I believe that that's what's supposed to happen. And again, my situation has always been different, because I've mentioned to you that more cops have bailed me out of trouble when I got pulled over than me ever being behind bars or anything like that. As I remembered, okay, I've only been in a holding cell one time. Okay, that's it. And I've never done drugs in my life, right? But infractions, I've done a few, okay? But more cops have bailed me out and shared things with me that I don't believe cops should be sharing with civilians. And I'm like, okay, so they talks about, people are lucky or blessed, or that's not their situation. It's because you live up north. I don't know. I don't know what to make of that. So it's very difficult for me to empathize. I know it's one of those words. Sympathize, you have an experience. Empathize, you kind of get it. Okay, so I kind of get it. So I empathize. I'm working this out live. So as you notice, okay? So I empathize, okay? Because I've experienced certain things, growing up north and stuff like that. But not every connection with officers I can empathize with, because I haven't experienced those kind of situations, right? So it's like, what do we do? Like, how are you balancing those out? What's the point? The point is, how are you balancing out those things as you see them in the media today?
Well, it was first Lila Bobina. Hi, I got to meet her during TwitchCon. Absolutely
what's
wonderful
happening?
Member. She's also a member of the Cookout. Great, great, awesome woman.
Okay.
Super energetic.
Okay.
She says, as a person who travels, yes, North and South make a difference.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second. Okay, so I'll share this. Okay, a lot of my bailouts on public roads for infractions were in the South. So it's almost half and half for me. So, because I used to live in Georgia. Okay, so I was in Cobb County, all right? If you are familiar with Georgia, Cobb County is it's crazy, okay? So I lived in that area, and then being up north, born here, born up north, and stuff like that. So it's kind of like I've seen both sides, but not those experiences. So it's kind of hard for me, you know, but anyway, I mentioned that already. Go ahead, Danielle.
Okay, so you're asking me how I navigate through that and the narratives that are being put out there.
That's what I'm saying.
That is something I am learning, because I don't know those things at all. Yeah, do I get treated differently? Yes. My experiences of being a woman of color is very different from, you know, a Caucasian woman or a Caucasian man. But never, like, it's not something locally here in Hawaii in which we have, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. That's how foreign it is to me.
That's
to
fair.
Really understand it. Do I feel a certain way when I see things in the news about the narratives that are being put out there and what the POC is having to deal with when it comes to law enforcement? Yes, I see that, and I, you know, it is very incredibly heartbreaking for me to fully wrap my head around it and to understand. Is something that in my story, in my experiences, is something I still don't quite understand. Because in Hawaii, like, if I was to get pulled over here, the chances are I either know the police officer or I'm related to the police officer. So there's some kind of weird, what is the word I'm looking for? Like, there's a relation there. It's not really nepotism.
Right, familial ties, basically.
Yeah.
Right, you're connected.
Yeah, there's a relationship there. There's already a pre-established relationship there. So I'm not going to have to deal, you know, with being wrongly accused of something. Like, our cops here are very nice. I mean, there's some who kind of abuse their power in some way, but not in a way that I've ever experienced that my life was in danger, or that I have any friends or family who ever experienced that as well either. Like, in most cases, if there's like a cop that knows that their buddy was dumped by some girl that they just pulled over, I bet you anything the ex-girlfriend that did wrong to their friend over there is most likely going to get a ticket. But having to see what is going out in the world and all of these things and these shootings of, like, let me go into my neighbor's house and apartment and shoot them, or, you know, the next kid that's wearing a hoodie, anything like that, is something that I'm still trying to wrap my head around about how that community there is dealing with that. And
right.
What story and what twist that the media is putting out there to get certain reactions.
Mm.
Like,
okay.
that is something that I'm still learning. And I don't necessarily put my personal opinions out there about, simply because it's not something I fully understand. I know what is right. I know what is wrong. I know that it is sad, but that is, so I can't add to that.
Right.
Because it's something that I don't fully understand. Maybe one day I will, but right now I don't have that ties, that experience, or that narrative to add to the conversation to help it. Or it's like, it is for me, it's kind of like me, like, yes, I'm a person of color, I'm a woman of color, but I'm not going to go and judge a black woman of colors and tell her, well, this is, you know, well, this is how you should feel, this is what you should think, because I don't know their story.
Right.
Same thing. I can't really put that out there. So that's why I never know what to really say if I don't. And, like, I know that there's a very big difference between the North and the South and all
True.
The Southern states and the Bible Belt and how, you know, the communities in there live. But I know that based off of what I can read, not because I lived it.
Okay, fair enough.
And so, even for people that I know that have lived there at one point, even if they're telling me what their experiences are, it's still not an experience that I had that I can fully understand.
Okay, so I'm going to add to the narrative just in case my sister listens to this. So when I did get pulled over and I was in the holding cell for like a couple of hours, maybe 3 to 5, maybe, give or take, I was let off on good behavior because I met the requirements for not having that on my record, right? So I got to put that out there. So because I've never shared this story publicly until today. So if that gets back to my sister before we even talk about it, that's what happened. And, you know, we'll give more details on that at a later date. That's how we do it here. Just keep going on the fly. So that whole situation is very interesting as things play out with the media, how things are being painted and drawn, you know, for that lore in and of itself, right? For narrative for individuals who are POCs. And it's been an interesting thing. So you have that, right? And please notice that all these are these topics are together for specific reasons. We don't want to talk about them and then get back to the gaming stuff. But these things I can't ignore anymore, which is why they're making it more and more. They're becoming part of the show as I see certain things. So then you had the stuff with the Germany stuff, right? Which was live streamed for a while. I don't know how long it was, but it was live streamed for a while. And your thoughts first, and I'll give mine.
The more popular that these streaming services are becoming and the ease of use to be able to make it happen, it's a very nervous, scary thing that people would abuse that to spread whatever their personal agenda and propaganda may be for whatever reason. I think it was like for 35 minutes it was up, but Twitch was super quick to take that down. So kudos to them. Yeah, and it's a very scary thing. So I think of the stuff, if I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, when Twitch finally made put out a statement about it, I think there was only like 5 people who were watching at that time, but there were obviously clips made that spread really super fast, and they were super quick to remove those things. That is a terrible thing to have to experience. And I'm like, why weren't the 5 people that were watching reported faster? Like, what were you doing, you sick, sick people? But
right.
What I hated, and I will add to this, what I really, really hated about it was that the people who were responding to the tweets and the statements that Twitch put out were super quick to be like, because, you know, Twitch reiterated what their TOS was about violence and all this other stuff. And, you know, they're very quick to like, oh, well, you didn't ban Alinity for throwing her cat. I'm like, okay, first of all, anime abuse, bad. Yes. But there is a difference. There is a huge difference between animals, mass shootings.
True.
Like, you are taking away from what is happening. This serious thing that happened in Germany for a cat. Yes, I love animals, but I love human life more. So,
See, I don't even know where I want to go with that one. Okay.
Okay. I absolutely hated it. Like, I stopped reading any of those comments. I didn't even bother to look at it anymore because that's what people wanted to bring up is like, oh, but you didn't ban blah, 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 blah. The mass shootings,
cat,
like. When, okay. I know no matter what I say about it on top of the animal thing, I'm going to be wrong. So I'm just going to accept that. I'm going to be wrong to somebody somewhere. But I'm going to put that the violence against a human being and human beings.
Right.
Far surpasses that of an animal. And the thing is, the animal that they were talking about is alive.
Right.
Is alive. And however way that people want to say it, whether she tossed the cat or whatever it is. You know, she didn't shoot the cat. She didn't go to a shelter and, you know, shoot up a shelter of animals. So yeah, I think when it comes to something as gruesome as saying a shooting and mass murdering, yeah, that should be removed
right
way faster, and action should be taken a lot quicker.
Right.
Than the cat.
Okay.
And I'm going to be wrong, no matter what, whoever listens to this, I'm going
to
be wrong no matter what.
I'm still trying to work out how I feel right now as it relates to the connections to different events. Okay, so I got to line it up this way then.
Well, let me add one last thing to it. If sure. I think it's not that it's a good thing or a bad thing. I think whatever, it was a low count. But if it was my family, if it was a family member of mine that was live stream, that they were shot, that they were killed.
Mm-hmm.
I would not want that available anywhere for just mass media to just post everywhere
right.
and show, and for it to be replayed. And as much as people want to say that they're really good people and they would never watch any of that, curiosity gets to people and they want to see what the rest of the world has seen.
Right.
Even if they just watch it one time, I would never want that for my family, for this family member who was killed. I would never want that.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
So
this is real right now.
That's where I leave that.
That's where you leave it. Cat throwing, mass shootings, abuse on streams towards spouses. I don't think any of those things should make it to those platforms, whether it's Twitch or Mixer or anything like that. That's a deeper issue than just you want to make sure you want to end the game because you want to make sure you want to entertain your fans, but yet you're being interrupted by your spouse and you decide to hit her, or something happened, you decide to throw your cat, you know, whatever the situation has been, you know, that stuff should, that's a deeper issue individually than what's happening on that particular platform. And I think that needs to be addressed, whether you look to a higher power for that, or you believe in certain tenets of faiths as it relates to those things. That's a deeper issue, right? So although some of it is entertainment to us, whether it's throwing a cat, the cat didn't get hurt, but what if the cat did get hurt? Now, that would be a different conversation, right? Within a subset of that situation. We know what happened with the Germany stuff, so that's a whole another thing. But we've seen that stuff happen on, not necessarily see it, you know, ourselves, but we know for a fact that these things have happened at schools, at different environments and stuff like that. So and it's almost like some of us have been desensitized to those things and forgetting that there is a deeper issue as it relates to caring for things that are living, right? As you mentioned, right? And I'm going that whole route because I'm still trying to figure out where I stand on that. As it relates to, you know, human life, totally agree, right? That's where I stand on that. As it relates to care for animals, that shouldn't happen because the animal could have got hurt. You shouldn't have an animal if you're going to treat an animal that way. I think that's basic. I think that's 101. If you don't see it that way, fair. But I don't think that you should be in charge of taking care of an animal if you treat the animal however you want to treat it, whatever the day was. We just happened to see that one clip that we saw on how you treat your animal. That's what we saw. We don't know what else has happened. Okay? We don't know. But we've seen that. So I think when it comes to a particular platform, being exposed to that, whether that's, you know, a Twitch platform, a Mixer platform, Ustream, YouTube, you start naming all the platforms they were access. So that particular headline could have read, Germany shootings was streamed on YouTube. It could have read on Mixer, right? So it really didn't matter what the platform was. I think what's been happening with Twitch is because of all the different situations we've had with them and how, with their teams, as they mentioned in their TwitchCon keynotes and stuff like that, they're trying to make sure that they handle everything with intent and, you know, afterthoughts and things like that. And you're trying to, but it shouldn't, certain things shouldn't even hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be a conversation. So I'm really trying to be, not necessarily open-minded about everything, there's just certain things that you should have a hammer on and just be like, you know what, we're not going to do that. So human life, absolutely agree. Animal situations, absolutely agree. Those things should not even be a conversation, you know, as it relates to any platform, whether that's YouTube, Ustream, or Twitch, or Mixer, and things like that. But for whatever reason, that platform, as you mentioned, ease of use, it's easy to hit record on those things, easy to live stream those things. And I think it's easy for the YouTubes and the Mixers as well. I mean, I'm not in depth in terms of my awareness of how the Mixer app works in terms of going live, but any of those applications, you know, are quick to use for the most part to go live, right? It's just a matter of what they chose that day or whoever was using it that day. And that's their thing. That's their main. That could have been the main one that they use and just happened to be. That's how I went live. So it's a very interesting dynamic as we see individuals navigate who's right, who's wrong about what's being done. Abuse, if we have to have a conversation about or something, or this is not a quote, this is not a paraphrase, it's not necessarily coming from me, but there are conversations where you see the context of or the air of, well, that person shouldn't interrupt that person's stream. So that's okay to get slapped and battered on stream because the stream was interrupted. That's a deeper issue, right? So if we're not going to have those conversations, and if those conversations are going to be continually surface level conversations, then I don't think there's going to be any change, you know, made in those areas. And you could cancel me for that. Like, I get canceled for a lot of things, right? And I'm okay with that. But if we're not going to have real conversations about certain issues, then I don't know. I don't know, Daniela. Like, what do we do? Because these things are happening, and they're not necessarily being isolated to particular industries. They're converging, they're intersecting. We're getting crossroads of all those things in any industry, whether you just want to be gaming, I just want to game with my friends, or I just want to game on my Twitch, you know, stuff, or, you know, I just want to hang out with my people on Discord. There's issues in all those places. And usually those issues are deeper than just the service level stuff.
Ruru says, I think Twitch should do bans and issue fines for TOS violations that involve harming another. Well, not just Twitch. I think all platforms is. But then it always comes back and it circles back to the argument, regardless of whatever the ban is being issued for, in which, you know, people have that narrative that, you know, if they're money makers, they don't get punished as much. They have more leeway. And that has to just do with whatever the platform may be, Twitch, Mixer, DLive, Caffeine, whatever it may be, having that universal, no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what title you have, whatever partnership you have, that you're going to be treated the same.
Right.
And that's a really difficult thing to do. I mean, even before any of these live streaming services, I mean, we saw it in the entertainment industry as a whole, in where you have how many different celebrities who are caught doing drugs, caught with so much drugs on them, who get a slap on the wrist and maybe like 2-3 days in jail. But then somebody who isn't a celebrity will get how many years, you know?
Right. So here's an idea. I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if it's been done before. Maybe it has having a coalition of all the different live streaming platforms, especially the ones that we use on a regular basis, whether that's the Twitch, the YouTube stuff, the Mixer, and having conversations about what those TOSs should look like on, you know, by having one of those individuals represent. We have those in on the world stage, right? Where leaders from all different countries and territories have conversations about certain things. And they may not agree on everything, but can we just have a section where we can agree, you know what, this, right, whether that's eternally looked at or just morally looked at or whatever the case might be, that we can all agree at this council, you know, whether that's Twitch, YouTube or whatever, that this is not right. And we have to stand on that. And as we're writing the policies, quote unquote, or terms of services, that we can put those things in those things to, you know, for business and all those things. So just a random thought.
Yeah, that is something that is a whole endeavor that you never know if they're willing to work together like that as a whole, just as, that streaming, live streaming, entertainment sector there, whatever it may be called, that little coalition.
Right.
That's something that is well above and beyond for them to discuss. I
Yeah,
mean, you only have
it's
really
a lot.
control over yourself and what you're intaking to what you want to see.
Right.
But no
'Cause you
matter what it
can't be
is.
siloed all the time, right? And that's the other thing that we talked about on some other conversations, that you can't just, you could be about this camp that you're building, but you can't silo off individuals that may be in need, right? Which is, I don't want to, that's a whole nother thing, right? But you can't do that and expect change, right? So there are those things.
Yeah, it's very deep.
That's first half, huh? Woo! That's the first half, Daniela. My goodness, what's going on here? What's going
A
on over
lot.
here? Episode 515, getting tense. All right, so gaming news now. We want to go back.
Sure.
Are we going back to that? All right, so a couple of things. They want to mention. So Watch Dogs may be getting a TV show. I think that's a word on the street. That could be rumored. I don't know if that's official, but I did see that. Would you want to see something like that, Daniela?
I don't know. I guess so. Kind of depends. I mean, their last couple of games are just like okay.
Okay.
Hopefully, their TV show would be better.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. No thoughts on that because I wasn't really big on Watch Dogs.
That's what I'm saying. Not a lot of people
but
were.
that's just me. That's just me. Because I was caught up in, some other shooting games and stuff like that. But well, I mean, that was more GTA type of game, right? That kind of vibe.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
If you want to say something like that, right? So there is that. Controllers. So there's been some announcement for controllers recently, and again, we were talking about before where I went to play Destiny on the Xbox, and I have to say this, okay? Either it was the one that started it all, the Xbox One controller, or the Type S model controller, it's still one of the greatest controllers ever constructed. Okay? I see a lot of companies coming out with a similar type of form factor, if that's the fancy word. I don't know if that's the marketing term or whatever. With these controllers, like SCUF has the form factor of the Type S, if you will. Like, later generations, they're molding, they're casting. I get it. Okay. So you have the Astro C40 has that form factor. Then you have the new Xbox controller coming out has that form factor. Well, that they should because that's their jam, right? That controller still is great. When you're playing like PvP, it doesn't have any mods on it. It doesn't have anything fancy. It's easy for to connect to the PC and stuff. And just that particular vibe of a controller is still a good feel if you're looking to play with a controller on another platform that's not a console. That's where I wanted to go with that. So that controller is great. So, but there's other controllers on the market that I didn't even know existed, like this eSwap controller. So this eSwap controller, if you go to eswap.thrustmaster.com. If you go there, didn't even know it existed. Okay, it's a super swappable controller, versatile custom built for ranked players. So it's a pro type controller, built to perform revolutionary, the marketing stuff on their webpage. So there's that. Didn't even know it existed. Okay, thoughts on that?
So, Thrustmaster is a very trustworthy brand. It's been out there for a really long time, coming out with their different types of controllers. I will say the coolest thing, and that I don't see on any of the other controllers that are out there, whether it be SCUF or any of the Pro or Elite controllers that come from our Xbox or PlayStation, the one thing that I think is really cool is the right joystick can be replaced for a two button. So it kind of gives that the Sega Genesis controller six button layout. If you remember that Sega Genesis controller for six buttons. And
Absolutely.
thank
I
you,
appreciate the raid,
Aaron,
man.
for the
Appreciate the raid,
raid.
bro.
Appreciate it. Appreciate the Aaron Shack raid. Hope you had an awesome stream there, and welcome Real Space TV. Yeah. So what they do is, it's super cool that they changed out that right joystick for just add two buttons to make it a 6-button layout on that side. And then on top of that, I think it's definitely geared towards those with bigger hands, simply because it has that elonged grip, I guess you can say.
Kind of definitely, right.
Definitely reminds me of that grip that the N64 gave you, where it felt really solid in your hand, and your hand gripped the entire thing, and it wasn't so small and arthritis-y feeling.
Absolutely.
But definitely has a different look that kind of takes time for you to get used to.
Yeah. Even like the swappable parts, I was like, okay. So for me, I don't ever recall hearing about this particular company. So that, thank you for sharing their history. It looks great. And it's like, all right, so this is another one on the market that, I don't know, there's so many options now. Do you do a C40? Do you do a Thrustmaster? Do you do the new Xbox Elite that's coming out this month, I believe, right? The month of October. There's so many options. And again, just mentioning that the foundational core of all these controllers, I believe, started from seeing the Type S, you know, from the burger controller that Xbox had back in the day, right? Whatever they call that. And then they revamped their whole look and they did a Type S, and that has revolutionized, I believe, all the controllers that we've seen come after it, right? So that controller looks dope. Looks cool. If you're on the market to consider a particular controller layout or form factor, you know, longer grips for that particular thing, I think that it's a good option to consider.
You must have seen a Thrustmaster controller at some point, because Thrustmaster, they do make gamepads, but they're definitely most known for their steering wheels.
Okay.
So they do cater a lot to, you know, the racing fanatics. They also do really good joysticks for like flight sims.
Okay.
So they do a lot of those. So that's where majority of their history of Thrustmaster comes from. They have amazing controllers for that. But yeah, they do have gamepads. They have, I think they also have like headsets too.
Okay. Yeah. So they've been around for a minute. So they've been doing that thing for a minute. Now, so that was surprising to me. Even more surprising to me is I didn't even see this one happening at all, is SCUF announced recently the SCUF Vantage 2. Okay. So that's even in the works right now. And I was just like, okay, I didn't hear that much marketing for it. It was very low key. I mean, did you guys chat? Were you guys even aware? Have you been following it that closely? I didn't know. And it looks really good. And I like how it did the thumbsticks. They have the grips on the outside, which is iconic to the Xbox controller, because that came with the Xbox One controller with the grips on the outside for the base line of the analog sticks. And I'm like, that's cool. So the SCUF Vantage 2, fine-tuned, you know, hopefully better than the original SCUF Vantage controller. I think that's what we have, right, Daniela?
Yeah.
What we have now?
Yeah.
The original Vantage.
Yeah,
which is still
I feel
great.
Like, yeah, it is still great. I feel like they just didn't come out for that too long ago either. So I'm a little bit surprised that they already announced the Vantage 2.
Right. So that looks great. Link in the chat. And of course, we'll have a link in the show notes for that as well. Thoughts on controllers before we go to the next thing, Daniela?
I still like my C40s. Well,
yeah,
here's the thing, okay? I'm saying I like the C40s because Astro, they're my team. But everybody, I'm one of those rare people that I really did not like the Xbox controller. I love the way that the PlayStation controller feels in my hand. So anything that has that form factor that has that similar shape to PlayStation's, I love. And anything that has to the Xbox form factors and shape, I'm really not a fan of. Like, it just feels so weird in my hand.
Help me understand. Help me understand what you're saying. So you like the PlayStation 4 controller?
Yes, I loved all the PlayStation controllers that's ever come out, from 1 to 4, and I will probably love 5.
Okay.
But I like that shape and that feel.
So you don't like the Xbox One controller?
Not really.
Okay. but you like the Vantage.
Yeah.
Yes? Okay. You like the C40.
Yep.
Okay.
Even though it is a bit bigger.
It is a bit bigger, right? The C40, context is everything, right? So, but I would say that the Vantage, the C40, the Thrustmaster are very similar form factors of the Xbox One controller. No? You don't think so?
The C40s?
Yeah.
But I don't have it set up for the Xbox way. That's what I don't like. I mean, I know that they're coming out, so they can swap it around.
So you're talking about the sticks. So you use symmetrical?
Yep.
Oh.
I don't have my joysticks offset. I don't like that. I really, really
got
don't.
Got you. Okay. So it's the sticks and their setting is the thing, not necessarily the form factor of the controller, which is why I wanted to be clear that I understood.
There's still some factors. Like, I do like the C40s. So what the only thing is, it is bigger. I'm not necessarily a fan of it being bigger.
Okay.
But that's why I keep it to the button layouts as the PlayStation one. I don't change it to the Xbox layout of there. I don't swap my D-pad and my joystick.
Right. Right. So I still
prefer the size of the PS4 controller over the C40.
Fair. Fair. The C40 is bigger than the Xbox One controller. It is. Because I used it last night and I used the C40 today. You can definitely tell as you're making adjustments for whatever you're playing that there is a big difference. And now the Elite, if you have an Elite and you have the original Elite and the C40, you can, you know, decide, you know, how many grams difference, which I'm sure there is, versus one or the other. But the Xbox One controller is lighter and smaller than the C40.
Well, I don't mind the weight of the C40, but if I had to change something to the C40, I would make it a little bit smaller.
Okay.
But the thing is, I still like the PlayStation layout. I love the size.
Right.
But I love the weight of the C40 because it feels solid.
Right.
So.
Right. Any challenges with it since you've had it for a long time? So I guess we can dive on that a little bit. Any challenges with it since you had it?
Nope. Not a single one.
See, she's blessed, Aaron. We've had challenges.
With the C40s? Really?
Yeah.
I haven't had a single problem with mine.
We've had some challenges.
What problems have you had?
I've had recalibration, like after I've moved the sticks around from symmetrical to asymmetrical, because I like the Xbox style, the asymmetrical, recalibrating for the things to work, it wouldn't work for a little bit. I had to reset, and I'm like, okay, the drivers are in, yes, app is installed, yes. So I had to go through that whole process to make sure. But ever since I've gotten them back to asymmetrical, I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to leave it. If I need symmetrical, I'll just use the PlayStation 4 controller. I'm not even touching it. Or the SCUF, because the option is there too. But I'm not messing with it anymore. So right now it's C40, asymmetrical. Of course, SCUF is what it is. PlayStation 4, exactly the same. And then Xbox One controller, asymmetrical if I need to do that. So that's no more. I'm not messing with it anymore.
Okay.
But it's great. It is great. Astro support was great. They hooked up Aaron. They replaced it. His situation with the sticks, because I believe he had drifting on the sticks that came with his C40, if I remember correctly. Correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron. I don't want to be telling the story incorrectly here. But I think that's what happened. And they took care of him and they fixed it. So that's controllers. So now that looks really, really great. Now, I don't know if I want to collect now because the Elite controller is around the corner. The Google Stadia stuff is happening in the conversation, right? That controller looks dope. So I'm not sure if that's just a Google Stadia controller or if it allows you to play on a PC. Since I'm PC most of the time anyway, it'd be great if I could use that controller, the Google Stadia Jam on the PC, if it has the option to do that. That's great. So there is that. And in a conversation with Predictive Button Presses, which was the recent release and the news that they had. Any thoughts on that?
So I don't even know where to go with that.
Where you want to go with it?
I don't know. Okay, so we're just talking about Google Stadia.
Yeah, we can jump in that.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, we can jump in that.
Still don't know. Like, the service isn't going to be available to me, so it's not something I can try from day one. I get the feeling, and this is not just Stadia, but I feel like every new service that comes out, like even Steam's controller, and I can't even remember all the other services that have come out, and they always come out with our new controller. They always look so cheap and goofy looking.
Okay.
That's what it is. And that's kind of like what Google Stadia's one kind of looks to me. It looks like a Mad Catz off-brand controller.
You think it's goofy? You don't like the controller?
I think it looks goofy. I mean, it's the layout that I like, but like the shape overall, I'm like, I mean, there's no point of reinventing the wheel of what people are used to having and holding in their hands, but they obviously want to make it so that there's like, you know, when you look at it, oh, that's a Google Stadia controller. It's getting kind of really hard. It's really getting kind of hard, you know.
It's clean looking. It's just got the orange underneath the sticks. You know, it's
they got their own little twist. They got their own little twist on it. But whatever, like, Stadia is coming out with, it's not going to be available to me just because, you know, internet designed by Linus.
It's clean, man.
That's what Ruru is asking, if it's designed by Linus.
I'm not sure. I'd have to look that up if it is.
But this whole predictive thing, really, the technology for predictive inputs is not anything that's new. Obviously, from a gamer standpoint, that's something that's new, but the software and having that implemented into technology is nothing that hasn't been out there and put out there already, to be honest. I mean, different applications and implementations of that type of technology, sure, it is. I mean, you can have like people who deal with telemetry and do tracking. A lot of people, they can do that, and you can... if you lose track of certain aircraft or whatever it is, there is algorithms that are input into there so that in the point that you use visual track of it, it will predict based off of the trajectory that it is going, that it's going to continue at this speed, at this pace. So I'm going to keep on going until, you know, have visual tracking of it again to like, hey, this is where it should be. So here it's going to be. And that has to do with whatever latency and inputs and whatever it may be. So the technology is there. They're just implementing it into something else that's different and gaming related. So people are going to be like, I don't want it reading it is. But that's the thing is, when it comes to, say, fighters, if you inherently, if you play a lot of fighters and you play against the same person repeatedly, you learn, you download that person. And you learn their habits, you know what they're going to be doing. And that's what the algorithm is doing. It is predicting your natural habits based off of what it learns on your playing style. Now, if you want an AI learning how you play, that's up to you. I mean.
Okay.
The end is coming, and it's going to come in robot form. Skynet is Google.
Skynet is Google. I just like the controller. So there's an article here on 925google.com. It talks about the Stadia stuff. With Stadia expected to launch sometime next month, Google in recent weeks has been ramping up the game streaming services press tour. The latest provides a look at the user research and design of the Stadia controller. Popular Science spoke to Google about what went into designing Stadia's only piece of consumer hardware. For starters, Google rejects observations by some that the first party accessory is just a mishmash and pretty much of the PlayStation DualShock 4. According to the design director, Isabel Olsen, the development process saw Google film 6,000 hours of gameplay to observe how people were holding different controllers. That article, if you want to read that, I'll post it in the chat. and I'll also make a note for it in the show
that
notes.
That is so funny that you bring that up. So
why you say that?
E3, was it E3? Possibly. Maybe in 2017, the first E3 I went to. Wednesday Night Fights. Me and my boyfriend went to Wednesday Night Fights, and there was actually, at the same time they were there, there was actually a research group that was at Wednesday Night Fights who had these different controller models that they made. They didn't have any specific, you know, brand or anything like that. They were just these models, clay models that they had of different shapes, different comforts. And I think there were like four or five of them. And so the people who are attending Wednesday Night Fights, which if you don't know what Wednesday Night Fights is, it is a esports arena that is all fighting games that they host on Wednesday nights. They have their own streaming channel and everything like that. But they pretty much had a table set up, and they were asking people like, hey, hold each one of these different models in your hand and tell us what you think is most comfortable. And the one and then give your, like, what did you find comfortable about it? What did you like about it? What you didn't like about it? And they would not tell you what it was for or why they were doing this research. They were just looking for feedbacks of different shapes and everything like that. And it's funny enough, I'm looking at the Google Stadia controller and I was like, hey.
I was
that's
there.
That's actually one of the shapes. And you saying that, I was like, wait.
That's what it says. That's what it has in there.
This moment, which I'll ask these things and told to hold these weird controller shapes. Yeah.
That's what it is. That's dope. That's dope. So yeah, so that's what happened. So I like the fact that we have the options that we have today for peripherals and personal audio and all those things. I think it's really, really dope. So there's that.
But Ruru also says $70 for this is kind of steep. Is it really though? Because we're talking about the Snub Vantage 2, that is $170, $169.99 or whatever, $164, whatever it may be. But that's like $100+ dollars. The C40s, $100+ dollars. Like that,
right.
Like majority of the controllers that are out there are in the $150 to $200 range. So is $70 really that steep? Like that, I think the standard Xbox controller and the standard PS4 controller is around that price range of $60, $70, somewhere around there for just a basic model. So for the Stadia, is it really,
I'll play the other side.
Really steep?
I'll play the other side because I know I'm spoiled. So when it comes to these things, I'm pretty spoiled. So I have to find a spot of relatability, right? I have to, right? Because I know I haven't paid for a controller in a long time. Okay, so there is that. I've never wanted to pay any more than $45 to $50 for a controller until things started spinning out with the esports and the pro versus the non-pro stuff. I kind of saw how those things made sense, but I never really wanted to pay any more than $45 to $50 for a controller, pro or non-pro, right? So that's just me personally. Now, that played out different because we do what we do. So $179 for me, now it's like, okay, well, I didn't pay that anyway for the C40, which was $200 retail. The Elite is $179. You mentioned the Vantage is 160. So that's crazy for that, right? So I have to find a point of relatability. Like even when I was just doing the Xbox for the first time, then the Xbox 360, I never really wanted to pay any more than $45 to $50 for a controller. And even that for individuals who do not do what we do, covering games and stuff like that, that could be.
Still, I think for the standard controllers it is. But Aaron's also saying controllers used to be $20 to $30 for off brand. And yeah, the off brands, like Mad Catz, like Nyko, like they're super basic controllers. Like they didn't offer anything special. I think Mad Catz one had ones that had LEDs.
Right.
But like the material
Mad Catz came back, right? They came back, didn't they?
They did, but I haven't really heard anything as far as products coming out of them.
Okay.
But for theirs, I mean, you obviously get what you pay for, the $20 to $30, because you can tell. You can tell the material was cheaply made, and majority of the cheaper off-brand ones, they weren't really wireless. They were wired.
Right.
So you kind of get what you pay for, kind of thing. I mean, if you want all the bells and whistles, you got to expect to pay that $150+ price range there for all those bells and whistles. So for me, I think the $70 for a new product that's coming out, Google Stadia, coming up with their own console and their whole streaming services and everything like that, I think is almost kind of standard and expected.
Right. And then really for Google, that's cheap, I think.
Yeah, I would say so.
It's Google, right? Because you got Pixel 4, you know, being leaked and talked about now. Pixel 3 stuff. They did the minis for the Pixel 3 stuff. But for Google, that is... Okay, so, all right. So now we're getting into, like, you know, tenets of how you believe with pricing and stuff like that. That's a personal choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with that particular price point, that really eliminates a lot of the pro options that are out there if 50 is the limit that you're going to spend, right? It limits a lot of options. That really puts you in the PS4 stuff, maybe PS5 standard. And the PS5 standard, depending on what they decide to give it at retail, is going to be anywhere between, let's say, PlayStation 5. What are we thinking? 59 to 79, because we don't know yet, right? So it's going to be somewhere around there, maybe. Okay, and then the controls that we have for the Xbox stuff, you could get a Black Friday deal, maybe, but the range is right now between $49.99 and whatever it is right now. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if the standard is all you need, then that's great.
And for most people, the standard controller is all you really need. I mean,
right? Not even just most people, like everybody.
Standard controller is great. It's for those people who really want to go above and beyond.
Right, which is why I started the whole conversation with, I have to say that the Xbox One controller is still really, really good for competitive needs and for standard needs, whether you're playing ranked stuff or non-ranked stuff. That controller, because I just used it last night. Last night, according to the time, was the 13th of October. I was playing Destiny 2 on the Xbox, and I'm like, this controller is still solid. So it's really preference. Like you said, extra bells and whistles if you want that, great. If you don't want that, great. It's pretty dope. That's what it is. But yeah, I think for Google, that's cheap. That's really cheap. And because it's an introductory package and all that stuff, that they're introducing a new service, that they're giving us some crazy marketing with the button pressing prediction stuff. That's kind of insane if you really think about it. But you mentioned stuff about the FGC community, which is interesting as well. So we're going to do the wait and see with this one.
The whole brand, or not brand, but the whole product is pretty much wait and see.
Yeah. So now I have to move up something because we've been talking about controls all this time. So Apple is going to be, if not already, selling Xbox controllers. Thoughts on that?
Yay.
Okay.
I mean,
go on.
It's a little bit weird, but I mean, they are starting their whole streaming services of, you know, the Apple Arcade, which has controller support. And
right,
even though it's Microsoft, I mean, it doesn't mean that it can't work together. But even though I really do love my PlayStation controller, Xbox and Microsoft just happen to have controllers that pair easier.
Yeah, so it's interesting. It's interesting that they're doing that because the whole world, a good portion of it, you know, they're saying the same thing. It's an interim until they make their own, right? And if you remember a couple of years back when, what was it? Google Chromecast stuff you couldn't find on Amazon for a while because Amazon wanted to promote their product, right? The huge marketing push for their Amazon sticks, right? So I remember that whole time period. Am I saying that correctly? That's what happened, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Around that time. So I think the fact that the quick option tested tried and true option for Apple happens to be, interestingly, Xbox, but the PlayStation 4 controller, based on some of the things I've been reading, also work for that platform, but they're not advertising that. They're advertising the Xbox controller in terms of what they're selling. So both work on a platform, but they're only advertising one right now. So it seems like it's an interim holding spot, placeholder, until they consider making their own product, which I wouldn't be surprised if we see that a year plus out, maybe, as they do their thing on that.
Yeah, they probably, it's no doubt they'll probably come up with their own controllers, but, you know, it's already out there. I mean, Android has been able to use PlayStation or Xbox controllers on, you know, for certain mobile games for Android. So, I mean, it doesn't make sense to really delay controller support, especially when they really want to push to Apple Arcade. So why not? They're definitely going to support PS4 controllers eventually. So that's inevitable, and as well as it's inevitable that they'll come up with their own controllers. Now, Ruru's asking, will they disable the feature when they come out with their own? I don't think so.
Mm.
I don't think Apple they could surprise me, of course. But I don't think they'll be that silly to alienate the people who are jumping on and buying, you know, these controllers from them. The smart thing that they are doing is that they are making the controllers, I think, about $20 cheaper to buy from the Apple Store. To further market this. So if this is the Apple Play site for controller, those greedy 64 standard Xbox controller. But you're buying that $20 for the Apple, comes at a price of the same going for around, well, at the time of the writing that I'm reading, it was $20 less. But I don't think they're going to alienate anybody. I don't see why they would be like, yeah, you can use this, buy from our stores, which are making money off of it anyways, in one way or another, if you buy an Xbox controller or one of theirs.
Right.
But it'd be silly for them to just say like, okay, we have our own, now you can't use this anymore. Because you know how many angry people there would be? A lot.
They'll lose. Yeah, they'll lose. Right. Especially for the ecosystem conversations. There are a lot of individuals right now who have Apple stuff, but they probably have an Xbox sitting in the house. So it's like, what do you do, right? So now you're jeopardizing ecosystem and individuals who've been with you for a long time, and you don't want to play that. That's a dicey game.
Mm-hmm.
Super dicey.
And that's that.
That's what's going on there. Mixer's other co-founder leaves Microsoft. There's a lot of people leaving places as of late. Thoughts on the departures, Daniela, and context. What do you think about all that stuff?
He's one of those people who made it, and he's like, well, I'm rich now. I can go and do whatever I want. I'm going to do lasers for concerts. But why not?
Why not?
That's like, first of all, co-founder of Mixer here, incredibly smart person that capitalized on something and made something of it, even though it had a rough start as Beam. He made his money, he made his career, this is his cornerstone, this is what made him, and now he can go out there and just, you know, go and do something else. I mean, he wants to work on lasers, but it's like kind of been one of his dreams to be able to do something. The fact is, okay, so he started off with just making servers for Minecraft, and his dad invested some money into him to expand on it, like $7, which this service that he started creating servers for other games and doing stuff became Beam, and then got bought out from Microsoft to become Mixer. Like, he is a very young, smart entrepreneur. And when you're that rich and you have this sort of freedom, why not? Why not go and do something else? I feel when you're that young and you have that luxury to go and explore life, like, why not take it? Why stick with something just because, you know, I created this? And, you know, I can keep making money off of it. I'm sure there's something in his contract and him leaving in which he's going to receive royalties for like a long time.
Yeah, he's got paper right now.
Even if it was just bought out in the terms of him leaving.
Mm.
He can go off and do many things. Like, there's people who do that constantly. It's just that you don't see it as much as, like, people who start up companies who build it up, establish it, then sell it, and move on to something else. It happens a lot.
It's business.
So why not? Why not? Time to go make hologram singers and dancers for live shows? Exactly. Well, why not? If he loves lasers and he loves, like, what light shows can put on for concerts and the mood that he can put out, and he can add on and whatever he's learned in technology and over these years, sure.
Word. Creative passions, man. You know, we want to do something else. Let's do something else. So this is Quick Hits. Prayers for Jeremy Renner and his family. I'll just leave it there. The next one is Zoe Kravitz cast as Catwoman. Thoughts on that?
Wait, say that again.
Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, as Catwoman.
Cast as Catwoman. Thoughts on that?
I'm down for that.
Okay, cool.
She's Quick badass. Hits
on that. Okay, now back to the regularly scheduled program. So there is that. Batman reboot. I think that's what they're talking, right? So now, since you guys don't want that as a quick hit, let's look at it real quick. According to several media outlets, including The Hollywood Reporter, The Wrap, and Variety, the Big Little Lies star is set to play Selena Kyle in the 2021 film.
The
news comes
Batman.
After Robert Pattinson was announced for the title role. That's what's up. That's what's up. That's what's going on there. And there you go. So that's what's going on with that. Let me go back here. Where are we? Okay. So Halo, Halo Infinite, lead producer, Mary Olson leaves 343 Industries. And there's a lot of conversations around that, you know, is the universe, are we going to get what we're going to get? You know, what's the conversation surrounding that? And so there's a whole Reddit piece in relation to how you should be looking at that. And that's the beauty of individuals that are spearheading certain communities. Their job is to make sure that they put out the fires before we start getting our own narrative out there as opposed to what's really happening. So when you heard that, Daniela, what did you think about first?
I don't know.
Okay. Fair.
Like,
fair. And I'm trying to do more of that to be completely honest with you, because it's easy for us to just start making our conclusions based on something that we see right away. Until we start doing the research on it, looking at it a little bit deeper, going down the rabbit hole of the actual facts and accounts that are happening per studio, per producer, per lead designer, whatever the case might be. I always, nowadays, more careful, right, to get my feelings and emotions involved in a thing until I say, okay, so what happened? What happened? So recently, my daughter, she showed me a picture. She said, if you see this particular color, that means your left side is more dominant. If you see this particular right side, then your right side is more dominant. And I saw it left side, so that's my logical side of things. So that's my natural propensity of things. I think that's the right word in that context, to look at things in a logical stand first before I start making some super emotional conclusions. So I'm with you. I don't know. But we looked at it, though.
Yeah.
And we know. We know a couple of things. Okay, so we know a couple of things. So I have it opened. Do you have it open?
No, not yet. You can start off.
Okay, so a couple of things. This was on Reddit, and I'll give it to you here so you guys see what I'm looking at. I think it might be easier to do it that way from now on. So that way, be like, hey, what's the link, man? You're reading something. We don't know what you're reading. All right, so this is what I'm reading right now. All right. Tim's role as creative director, starting on the second paragraph, was to help make creative decisions around the design and direction of the game, whether it was campaign, multiplayer, etc. Mary's role as an executive producer and then lead producer on campaign was to help drive the game to its completion for a holiday 2020 release date, with the latter specifically focusing on campaign deliverables. Now, unfortunately, the thread's title saying he was replaced with Mary and she also left is far from accurate. It implies that Mary took over creative control of the entire game, didn't like what she saw, and then decided to leave. If that's what actually happened, I could totally understand getting worried, but that isn't the case, as she was a lead producer and not a new creative director. Then it starts mentioning defining the roles as they are contextually applied in the context of this particular company. That's the paragraph that follows. Definitely enjoy that for the read. Instead of hearing what Twitter's saying about what they're not necessarily paying attention to, like this particular post, this is from the inside. This is the internal telling you, don't get worried. Now, if it falls apart, then this is trash, right? That's how that plays out. But if it holds together when everything comes out, then this was valid. Daniela, thoughts?
Oh, man. I don't have much because it's just too many changes, which no matter how you break it down, even if it's factual and that's the way it is and that's what the titles may be, regardless if she has any say or she's in charge of how it progresses in the game. What it comes down to is that there's people that aren't going to go and dive and find all the facts. They're going to take the surface value of what's being announced. And what it does is that as a consumer, they have less faith in the game. They have less faith in the title. All they see is like all of these changes happening, all of the shiftings happening. What is this game I'm going to be getting now? Because you guys can't get your house in order. So it has like less faith because those people, most of the consumers, aren't going to go diving that deep into it. The fans, hardcore fans who love the entire series, yes, they will. Majority of the general audience isn't going to.
Okay, that's fair. So that's what's happening there. Now, the Blizzard player ban update, you guys in chat may be more informed than we are as it relates to this. From what I understand, that he was supposed to be banned for a long time. The ban was cut to half of a year, so he was only banned for 6 months now. He had money taken away completely. The update was that he got all the money back. So if there's any, gray area with that, please let us know. But that's really the main update on that. I know we talked about it before we recorded, Daniela. We weren't necessarily following it that closely, but it's related to what's going on in China right now with the protesting and those things. Any thoughts on that?
Politics.
Fair.
No matter what they are, no matter what stance you have, no matter what country you live in, are always going to be touchy subjects. Same thing with religion. Always going to be touchy subjects. So that's why majority and most people in their stream chat and their rules will state no political talk, no religion talk, because everybody has different stances on different things and nobody ever wants to get into heated debates about it. Like, it takes away. So most people just don't have that. Like, I got all respect, whatever your stance is, don't bring it up in here. When it comes to gaming, when it comes to tournaments, they shouldn't be brought up there either. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about what country it is. It doesn't matter what stance you have. You shouldn't be bringing it into a tournament because you're taking away from what that tournament is. So I kind of agree with them, like, on the bans. Like, okay, what he had to say, all right, I get it. I understand. That wasn't the platform to put it on. It really wasn't. And it kind of sucks how everybody had the backlash that it did. But that isn't the platform. That isn't the time. That isn't the space to be sharing that. Blizzard is a gaming company. It's not like they have any sway in what China does, coming from Ruru. And Aaron says he shouldn't have gone political. And he really shouldn't have. If somebody came into my stream and they wanted to put that out, they would get a warning from me. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm not a tournament and it's just my stream. But if someone came in with a very their political beliefs, they would get a warning. It's like, hey, appreciate your thoughts, your personal opinions on it, but my chat isn't a place for you to talk about it. Feel free to go and talk about it on Twitter, on your own personal platform, and put that out, or start up your own stream, and you can talk about those your political beliefs there, on your personal time, on your personal platform, not here. Aaron asked, "Is
Colin
Colin
K.
K in the NFL not the place either?" I don't know that one. I don't follow sports. I 100% do not follow sports whatsoever. So that one's all you, Andrew.
I think that okay, so in a recent official statement recently given out, and Aaron can definitely fill us in on that a little bit more, where it talks about his stats and his ability as a football player who's currently training every day to be, able to enter the league. I think that all the platforms that we have out as it relates to conversation, they usually have a category, right? And I think that for us, ours is a mix now of society and culture and gaming, right? So, and that was intentional because there are certain things that I wanted to talk about where I felt that it was bad advertising, if you will, if it was just in a gaming category. And I'm talking about some of the other things that we talked about at the top of the show. So I had to make a decision to open up the categories for the different topics that we started talking about on the show. So if it's a football platform and we're talking about sports, then Colin K in the NFL, yeah, we can talk about that. If it's a question in a chat that I have information I can entertain, yeah, I'll entertain it. But the only thing I ask when it comes to certain conversations, and even something that makes individuals uncomfortable to have conversations about in public, whether that's depression or anxiety and stuff like that, if I'm being civil in my approach and having that conversation, the only thing I ask is you be civil with me, right? But if I'm mentioning something in a civil manner and I'm having the conversation, even if I may not have all the bits and pieces about it, whether I express that I've experienced it or not, I think civility should be priority, right? That should be at least on the table. And I think too many times that people come into our chats or in different conversations that relates to us putting ourselves out there, we're being civil as the creator, but the individuals receiving the information, they're not being civil in their response and their rebuttals as we're having those conversations. That's where I'm like, okay, so we're gonna get super real about it. We're gonna get buff about it because I cannot be civil, but I'm choosing to be civil in my interactions for many reasons because I'm ambassador for many different things. I represent a whole bunch of different individuals as I create content. It's not just about me. It's about all the individuals that are connected to me. So I'm trying to be civil in my presentation, but can I get that back? Most of the time, I'm not going to get it back, and that's fine. So I don't even mind us talking about football and any chat that I'm part of because I kind of like football. I think Colin is dope. I like what he did for San Francisco, 49ers when he played. But it's if you want to talk about Hong Kong and the protest, I would have to research more to give something a little bit more concrete in terms of how I really feel about it. Right? Because I don't even know what they're protesting for. And I'd be lying to you if I said I knew exactly what they're all that protest is going on for. I don't know, but I would do a little bit of research and have a civil conversation about it. So that's my main issue as it relates to any issue that you guys put in chat right now, whatever the issue is, civility, right? Courtesy, kindness. That's what I'm talking about right now. It doesn't matter what the issue is. Whoever's talking about it, whatever big YouTuber talking about it, it doesn't matter, right? If you really think about it, it doesn't matter. Because I've had conversations with individuals that I know personally that we didn't really agree on, but it was civil, it was kind, it was respectful, it was tactful, right? And those things I think sometimes are missing when you disagree with me about who, it is I'm voting for. Not voting for who I like, don't like, what sports team I like, right? So we get into all those really don't matter. The core of it is let's have a civil conversation. And I think that supporters, however you want to look at that, take advantage that they know we're going to be civil. So they decide to approach it however they want to approach it. they attack us however they want to attack us because they know we're going to be civil anyway, right? Because we have the responsibility with our voices and what we say. They know that. But because they know that, they want to wild out because they know we're not going to wild out. Some people do. I can't speak for them, how they use their social media platforms. You got to listen to episode 514 about that. But I'm not going to do it. That's not because I can't do it, right? So there is that. So it doesn't matter what the topic is, Daniela, just leaning towards you a little bit. It doesn't matter what the topic is. The only thing I suggest that as individuals talk to us or whatever is just, you know, be civil because we're trying to be, right? Back to you.
Man, you went off on a whole other thing and all I asked was about Colin Kay. No, I mean, people can have their political thing, whether I don't really care if they're going to be super aggressive about it. It doesn't affect me any. But coming back to the bans and how it all played out. So if he wanted to put out what his political stance was about what's going on in Hong Kong, he did have every right to. It just, not the really the place necessarily for it. But taking that stance, putting that out there, I mean, it kind of had to be expected about whatever backlash you're going to be, whether it be good or bad. What I didn't like was the fact that nobody really agreed on Blizzard's stance about how they banned him. Was a year a bit steep in holding his money? That's subjective. That really is. Mm. But what I think, if somebody who's going to take that stance and use the platform and that time and that opportunity to put out what he believes, I think people who do that, who take that opportunity to be really, really radical and put it out, they're more trying to put out to the world about what is happening in something. Because, yeah, it is Hong Kong, and it's not in the U.S. And a lot of us in the U.S. don't know whatever political things are happening in other countries. We know what's happening in ours, and right. We know very, very much so because it is our country, just like in Hong Kong. But they want people to, they want to bring awareness to it. They want people to pay attention to it because, like I was mentioned in chat, it's something that's been going on for 4 months there. But people chose to linger on what Blizzard did rather than being a little bit more proactive as to what is happening in China and being more aware of it, which I feel at that player's entire intent was to show more awareness. I don't think he should have been surprised by what happens because Blizzard is a company. The tournament is something that they wanted to focus more on rather than whatever political beliefs is. I mean, I think if it was a U.S. player and they were talking about Trump, would have had the same, you know, the same outcome. They would have gotten a ban because it is a tournament. It is not a political debate. It is not a place to be there. And the thing is, just like media outlets, or at least most media outlets, they want to remain the neutral. They don't want to bring in of like having to choose sides on any stance because that is not their business. That is not it, their business as it is. It's like, you know, they don't care, but it's not the business that they are in. Aaron says, oh, China has a lot of money for Blizzard and they don't want to cut that off. That is the narrative that everybody wants to sit with. Now, if that is something I agree with, I don't know. Yes, everything comes down to money, but then all at the same time, I don't want to, you know.
Yeah.
If we had a guest that was very, very, very Republican and wanted to use the show radio to express that. And it's not because he's a Republican. For me, I don't know if I would feel comfortable having him back as a guest on our show again. Or if I would necessarily feel comfortable even keeping that episode live if all they wanted to do was talk about the Republican Party and whatever he may believe. Well, not because that his beliefs differ from mine. It's more of, okay, how much of our audience are we alienating? Even if it is done in a very respectful way and it was mm-hmm. a very civil conversation, I don't know how many of our audience would feel alienated about it. That's why I just don't like bringing up political things at all. I personally do not publicly put out my political or religious beliefs for that reason. And it's also just, it's just topics I don't want to talk about, regardless if it's civil or not. It's just kind of like, well, I just don't want to waste my time having discussions about it.
Mm.
So that's okay. Kind of how I feel about
it. I like tacos.
But I will get into debates on you about pineapples and pizzas and
no,
anchovies,
that's not a debate.
And stuff like that.
That's not a debate.
Like,
you want pineapples on your pizza.
No, I don't want it. I don't want it. Don't even start. Okay, let's start on pineapple and pizza. But it's one of those things. It's really hard to have constructive conversations about it without, like, you can have the best intentions to have the most civil conversations, no matter how you want to navigate that, which is the kindest heart. Politics and religion, you're going to offend somebody no matter what. There's
somebody's gonna take it.
Way of avoiding somebody being offended.
Hmm. Indeed.
Pineapple pizza is a Canadian abomination they want to blame Hawaii for.
Indeed. All right, so we got quick hits. Before we begin wrapping up things, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, so 5 more things, and then we should be good. Maybe 6. 5. All right, so Batwoman impressions. I saw a little bit of that. I don't know how I feel yet because I need to watch more. That's it. That's all I have on it. It looks good. The creepiness of the world looks good. The cinematography is dope. I dig it. So those things are cool. So I
didn't get to it any at all. Like, I'm glad it's there, but I'm so behind on the CW TV stuff. It's just, I am way, way behind. So I don't really want to start Batwoman. I know it's probably not even that necessary, but I really want to know about all of the crossovers and the storyline and what leads up to it. I like that. I don't like to jump into the middle of it, so I'm not there yet.
Right. So that's all I have on it now. You know, I dig what I'm seeing so far. Just need to learn more and experience more, and then we'll probably talk about it, I'm sure, in later episodes. So there's that. Steam is getting a new feature to make local multiplayer games playable online. Thoughts on that?
I love that. I love that so much, because currently right now they have Parsec. Parsec is out that offers that service, but you kind of have to rent out their servers to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. If this is going to be something that's going to be implemented, I think it's not quite yet in beta yet. That's, I think, the signups are soon, I think. It's currently out there and available for developers to start working their games for it, but there are some local co-op games. I know that Overcooked 1 was definitely, it only offered local. Overcooked 2 also had the eventually added the online.
River City Girls is local.
Yeah, so a lot of those that really cool couch co-op games is all locals, which is nice, but man, online to be able to play with friends, there's a lot of the co-op ones that I would love.
Scott Pilgrim,
that's
right?
Only
that
local.
Was dope.
There's a lot. So the fact that they're finally, I don't know why it took so long for this to happen, but the fact that they're finally working on that, awesome.
That was a great game.
I'm just wondering about the latency. I'm just gonna assume that's all gonna be locally hosted. Whoever starts up the game and doesn't invite, it's gonna be hosted through them. So I'm very interested about how the latency is going to be working out, because Parsec is one of those things where they definitely advertise as very low latency, very easy to use. It's just that there is a slight cost to it. But I'm still excited. I am.
Okay. So you have that. That's looking very, very promising. Modern Warfare will require 175 gigs on PC. That's one bit there. which is a lot. PlayStation 4 increases party size to 16 and removes Facebook integration. Thoughts on those things?
I don't even think I have 16 PlayStation friends I want to be in a party with.
175 gigs, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, 175 gigs. That's ridiculous for Modern Warfare. That is insane.
I still want it. That's going to be on the second drive. It won't be on the primary drive. That's a lot of space.
It'd have to be. I need a new solid-state drive this Black Friday, says Ruru. You know what? I completely forgot that PlayStation had Facebook integration. And I was like, okay, cool. I only saw one person from the time that was announced that complained that the Facebook integration was removed because they were uploading their, I guess, their clips or highlights or whatever to Facebook. And I'm like, I thought you can put it on, you know, Twitter or something. Whichever. Yeah. So I'm like, it made no difference to me because I completely forgot. And they're literally the only person that I saw on my timeline that I know of from friends and family that complained about missing the Facebook integration.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of people complain about that. That's interesting. 90 gigs for Destiny 2, which is huge. 175 gig is crazy for the base game. I agree there. And second drive is going to have to take that. I can't put down an SSD because if I put down an SSD right now, it'll take up the whole thing. And I do want it, so I may see if I can get it for review, see what they say. But when I played the beta for Call of Duty Modern Warfare, I think it was amazing. I like the fact that they had the icons of the consoles and the PC in the lobby so you could see who you're playing against. So there was some keyboard and mouse people there. There was some controller people there. And there were probably some controller on PC there. Who knows? But I love the fact that they show that. We'll have to see what's going on there. Let me see. We have... Okay, cool. So that's that. Sony PlayStation 5 Christmas 2020. Are we excited, Danielle?
I am.
Okay.
It's a no-brainer for me personally, honestly.
Okay.
It is. I got my PlayStation 4 day one. I've loved everything that my PlayStation has done for me over the last 5 years, I think. Okay. 6 years. I'm not sure anymore. But it's for sure a day one purchase for me. There's no doubt about it. Eventually I'll own the Xbox Scarlett. But I'm not in as big of a rush for it. And really, it's because I've had my Xbox One 4 years now.
Mm.
And I still have not nearly used it as much as my PS4. Mm. And I guess you could say I'm a PlayStation fangirl about it.
I think you can safely say that.
But it's only really because, you know, PlayStation has done a whole lot for me. Like people can hate and bash on top of different things, but really what it comes down to it is that I love the different game support that PlayStation has offered. And it does have to do with exclusives, but it has a whole lot more overseas support for all the overseas games that's ported over for Westerners to play. Xbox doesn't have that. PlayStation also always had, like, you know, the Xbox 360 had really good indie support for a little while. And then I don't know what happened with that.
I agree with that.
And, you know, from Xbox One, it's just kind of like, where did your indie support come from? Like, where did it go? What happened?
So let's throw this in PlayStation. Yeah. So let's throw this in because I know we're approaching a particular time mark that we want to do a hard stop at. Price, we don't know yet. Dimensions, we're not sure yet. CPU based on AMD Ryzen 8 core. The GPU is a custom Radeon Navi, unknown teraflops, so that's unknown right now. Memory is unknown. Storage is unknown. Storage type is SSD. Let's scroll down a little bit. Resolution support is 8K for PlayStation 5. PSVR support is yes. So this is published on the 9th. If this information is correct, I'll throw that in the show notes as well. Any further thoughts on that?
Next on console is sounding pretty good. AK video, not gameplay. Yeah, I get it.
Did I say gameplay?
I just said AK. I think you just said 8K.
Okay.
But I like that they're going with the solid state drive. Those little small changes there. I mean, there's more information to be put out. I just know that right now, even with some of the elements being unknown, that I'm just going to support PlayStation 5 anyways. That is a given. Really, really, and honestly, what I want, and in the graces that we get approved for E3 again, I really, really, really hope that PlayStation or Sony will have a presence at E3 2020. I think it might be a little bit crazy if they don't. Because that'd be pretty much the prime time to really advertising going into 2020. Because you know Xbox is going to be having something.
Of course.
So I want to see it. I hope we can get some hands-on time with it at E3 2020. Hoping that they will actually be there. But starting off the beginning of 2020, I think it's going to be a very, very exciting year for us.
Lots going on, man.
So that's what it is. I know that's such a neutral answer to give. But
so lots going on.
Yeah, there's just going to be some really exciting things that's going to be going forward and how they're advertising and what they're going to be putting out. It's going to be a very cutthroat year because, let's just face it, whoever comes out with the better selling point is the one that's going to be well ahead. Because when PS4 and Xbox One came out, that price point that they gave that PS4 shocked everybody.
The whole world, man. It was crazy.
And really, like, you know, people only have a finite amount of money. They're going to get the biggest bang for their buck.
Even the video that they did when they said, this is how you share games. And they say, you know, from one hand to another. Remember that?
Yeah. And because of those marketing things and what it is, I mean, that's what's going to determine it. Like, whatever one person's going to fail at, the other one's obviously going to do the opposite. That's how they always been. The whole HD DVD Blu-ray. Who came out on top of that one? PlayStation. There's always going to be that one thing that the other one, they're going to take that 50-50. I'm like, okay, what is this new tech that's going to come out that's going to be different that hasn't been announced yet that they're going to both take opposite sides on?
Oh, yeah. The mishap, what was that, 500? Was it 600? 600, if you can't afford it, then, you know, deal with it kind of thing, basically. But PS3 marketing, they learned from that when they came out with PlayStation 4 because that was crazy.
Yeah, the PS3 was a really ridiculous price. That was like 600. But when they came out, I think, oh, man, what was it? Wasn't the PS4 like, was it $50 cheaper or was it $100 cheaper than the Xbox One? It was a very significant difference.
Yeah, I think it was 100.
Between the two. Yeah. Like, shocked.
And then it didn't
everybody bundle
the camera. The camera was separate, right, for a while? I don't think it ever bundled the camera, did it, per PS4?
I don't remember. Because
the Xbox bundled the camera for a while. Then they took it out because it says processing power was being taken away from the system itself with the camera built in, connected or whatever. So they removed it and started selling it as separate packages. But I think it was...
The camera was like $60 difference. Bucks when it first came out. The PlayStation camera, I think it was like $60. I bought it.
Yeah, this is not in here, but I got to put it in there. Project xCloud, register for that for the preview. So wanted to throw that in. And Daniela, I think the floor is going to be yours. I'm going to actually announce mine because it's quick. NAB show is this week. I'll be helping out the Lipson booth on the show floor. So if you're in New York and you're going to pass through the Lipson booth, I'll probably be hanging out there on Thursday a little bit. So just hit me up if you're going to be around in New York for that. Project xCloud, I wanted to mention that, do that in the chat. I'll have that in the show notes. And then Daniela, everything is yours from here.
Oh, it's all mine. All right. So I just wanted to give a really quick impression, spoiler free of Joker, really super spoiler free. Man, okay. So I'm gonna open it up with this because I feel it's always good to know the history of certain people that are kind of give reviews or impressions of certain things because, you know, I don't want you to be like, I can't believe that's what you thought of this movie. I'm one of those rare people who liked Batman versus Superman, which was very notorious that a majority of the world really, really did not like Batman versus Superman. I know this. But I did. So now that you know that, I didn't really like Joker. I didn't.
What?
I did not. But my boyfriend did. He really loved Joker. He did. I actually dozed off a couple times. At one point, my boyfriend caught me. He's like, okay, we'll just go. I was like, no. Well, I'll get it. I'll wake up. It's like, we'll watch it. I'm here. We paid for this. Got all these snacks. I'll watch it. I'll stay awake. He really enjoyed it. I did not. Now the whole stigma behind like, oh, it's just, you know, enhancing mental illness and guns and all this other stuff that I didn't see in the movie. Okay. And it was a very slow burn. And I think I found maybe the last 15 minutes as worthy. You must not have liked it. I mean, the seats aren't that comfortable. Hi there, no mas, no more. But that's how it is. I'm not going to give spoilers to it. The people that I was watching it with, other people inside the theaters, they were laughing. People that were in there, they looked like they were enjoying it. They were very into the movie. And I could automatically tell from me, the way that I felt about it, that I was pretty much the only person in the theater that just kind of really was not impressed by it. I didn't really care for it. And again, this is why I opened it up with saying that I'm one of the people who really actually liked Batman versus Superman. Unpopular opinion right there. Me not liking Joker, probably going to be another unpopular opinion as well. Did I like the quality of time I got to spend with my boyfriend? Yeah, sure. We barely get to go watch movies. But I was actually really, really hoping for me personally, because leading up to it, seeing all the trailers, I was not impressed by any of the trailers. None of the trailers made me want to be like, yeah, I need to see this movie. I want to watch this little solo origin story. And I was really hoping that when I finally did get to watch it for me, that my opinion would have changed and my ideas of it would have changed and I would have loved it and I would have been surprised. I wasn't. It was everything that I thought it was going to be. This is why I haven't really been talking about it on social media, coming from somebody who really does love Batman and whose favorite villain from Batman is the Joker. I just wasn't feeling it. It was a slow burn for me. And man, I just thought it was boring.
Okay.
So that
kids
is...
Kids movie or no?
What is that?
Is it a kids movie or no?
Nah.
Okay.
I don't think Joker is ever going to be kid friendly. I think the only kid friendly Joker is Adam West Joker. That's the only kid friendly Joker out there in the world. So that being said, I mean, Heath Ledger is still my favorite Joker. And that's that. I mean, there was one shot, which I think there is a screenshot out there where there is some homage to Heath Ledger's Joker in there. And that is literally the only, like, 20 seconds I really liked.
Okay.
So, obviously, if you want to go out and watch it, I would say, you know what, even though me saying that I didn't enjoy the movie, the fact that is that there's so many people that did, and it was very apparent with the people that I was watching it with and the other patrons, go and see it. I don't know if you should pay full price of it. If your movie theater offers matinee price, do that. I don't know if it's worth paying the full amount, whatever your movie theater charges. Matinee, I would say wait for that. I'd say it's worth a Redbox rental. But that's as far. I'm glad that me and Ruru are on the same page of this. It was boring. That's like there was. I do not have very many nice things to say about the movie. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
And that is our last topic for today. Maybe Danny will like Zombieland 2 more. I probably will. Let's just put it this way. Of the entire time I sat in the movie theater, I liked the trailers. The trailers were my favorite part. And even then, the trailers look really bad. Jungle Cruise, that's coming out with The Rock, like, that was filmed on Kauai. Like, there's the jungle parts, but obviously you can tell what part would probably be filmed on an island. That looked really terrible and super cheesy, and I enjoyed that more than the movie. The Terminator Dark Fate trailer, which I'm just like feeling all sorts of weird things for. And I still think that's really cheesy, and I don't even know if that's even going to be good. I enjoyed that more than the movie. Gemini Man, which looks like a train wreck, even though I love Will Smith, that movie, that trailer looks like a train wreck. Liked it better than the movie. Midway. Okay, wait. I take it back. The movie might have been a little bit better than Midway because I really do not like war movies that take place on the water or in the air, which Midway has to deal with both of them. Maybe the movie was a little bit better. Yeah, Noah Samar agrees that the movie looks awful. Aaron Shack says, I like the dark takes DC has taken compared to Marvel. Luckily, variety is the spice of life, and I enjoy both. Yeah, it is. Look up the trailer, 1917 trailer. That looks really good. Oh, I might remember that one. But yeah, that's where I'm at with the movie. You can quote me on this where she says, like, I don't understand why you didn't like Joker. Joker was fantastic. Because that's all I literally saw on my timeline was how fantastic of a movie Joker was. And I saw it. And I'm like, I don't know if I watched the wrong Joker movie or something, because no. I'd rather watch the reboot of Grease, or not Grease, Hairspray. There it is. Probably like 20 times before I have to watch Joker again. Yes, Midway is pretty much a Pearl Harbor movie, but it takes a different part of the Pearl Harbor story. And really, I didn't even like the Pearl Harbor movie. Again, I don't like war movies that have to do anything on the sea or anything in the air. But give me movies like Saving Private Ryan or Fury or anything else. I just don't really like anything in the air or sea. I don't know why. I just don't. Not my cup of tea. My only problem... Aaron says... or not Aaron, but No Master Mar says, my only problem was I thought the directing was very on the nose. It was all too spelled out. Oh, yeah. So predictable. Everything was predictable. Aaron Shack says, there's nothing worse than having everyone disagree. And Ruru asks, have you ever seen Porco Rosso from Studio Ghibli? No. But I gotta say, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us, for joining us. We appreciate you being here for episode 515. Feel free to keep asking all the questions. I'm just here to say thank you. It has been a lot of stuff that we covered for this. A lot. And some really super deep topics, too. I might like that one. It does have air combat, but lots of character story moments. Well, we'll see. I'll check it out. Thank you. Appreciate it, you guys. Thank you. I think Andrew might be streaming later on today or tonight for him. I might be on later on tonight as well. Definitely go and check out all of our streamer link information. You can find all of our social media, where to follow us, where to find us. If you're ever feeling, really giving, you turn on the notifications for each of our personal channels. You'll always be notified when we go live and what we're up to. But you can find all of our social media links at streamerlinks.com/Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A. And you can find all of mine at streamerlinks.com/MissDJM. You're going to find our Twitch, our Twitter, Instagram, the website, Discord, all of those things. Aaron says, massive coverage and we all survived. Yes, we did. We got through this, episode 515. You can also visit our website, www.theshowradio.info. You can follow all of our audio clips and uploads on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, bunch of all these places. Join our Discord. You can go to www.thoshowradio.info/discord. That is our invite link. We're always in there, always posting up information. And if you guys got nothing else and Andrew doesn't have anything else, we're going to be closing out for today with episode 515. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you guys on episode 516. You have a fantastic week. Until then, bye.